You're thinking that, you know, you're at the end of your tether now. But what if this is just the beginning of your story?
Then it's a slow start, isn't it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Take me down to the Paradise City.
I don't even know what that is.
Yo, this is Kevin Federline. What, do you got nothing better to do but to call this person? Maybe this person is busy. You trying to waste other people's time? Maybe they're a hard-working person. I don't know. But why are you calling? Don't make no sense to me. I think you should just holler at your damn self and go on about your day.
Douchebag.
Hang on tight, spider monkey!
What that even supposed to mean? I shouldn't have to hear that. I'm a child.
What do you think about that? That the Catholic Church would allow someone in, welcome someone in, who denies the Holocaust? Isn't that offensive to you?
What are you gonna do?
And now.
You with me?
I sure am.
You with me now?
I love it.
You know you love it.
I don't even know what that is.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. 106.7 K-Rock. It is K-R-O-Q. And Lisa, what is the date today? Because apparently I'm not qualified to announce it.
It is today is the 24th of March. Chicka-pow-pow.
Now that was weak sauce, right?
I thought that was pretty good.
I had to think about the months. I was like January 1st. Oh, it's March.
All right, let's try it one more time.
That was so much better than your initial attempt yesterday. I don't even know how you can come at me, really.
I was fine with the March of Bombo. It was the
It was the pause.
The hesitation on the date.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
So let's try it again.
Because I didn't have it in front of me. You understand. Right. Why, Bean, thanks for asking. It's the 24th of March. Bow.
Oh, she's just so smoking hot. God, I would do things to her that she would probably laugh at. You bitch!
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take your telephone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. I see a couple people are already dialing in, but you can give us a call right now. Get on the air, get a prize. This is the I want to start with this because this is the kind of irresponsible journalism that needs to be stopped in this country. This is, you print stuff like this and bad, bad things are going to happen.
What?
Listener sent this to us yesterday. Headline, teen dies after police use taser on him. Now, there's no reason to ever put a story like that in the newspaper, is there?
I have to say that the guy we had on last week, or the week before last, who said there's nothing wrong with tasering, nothing ever goes wrong, it's 100% safe. I mean, that's just not true.
It is true.
I believe him with all my heart.
Really?
How is it not
then
true?
Explain that story that Bean just mentioned.
Because if someone has a pre-existing heart condition, there are things that could go wrong. And we don't know the circumstances of this story. He could have got hit by a car, then they tasered him. I mean, I'm being this serious. Secondly, look at it this way. The police alone taser, what? What's a good estimate? 50,000 people a year in America?
I have no idea, but okay.
One person dies every, 5 years. That's a real, compare that to a car. Then,
but we don't know who has a pre-existing heart condition.
Well, then don't commit crimes. That's my number one.
We're actually thinking of those people. We're thinking of Beer Mug.
I know Beer Mug does not have a pre-existing
heart. How do you know?
Because I'm actually his physician.
Let's see what's going on here, because cops say a 15-year-old attempted to fight the officers. It's a 15-year-old that died. Yes. Police in Michigan say a 15-year-old boy has died after being tasered by officers who were trying to break up a fight. Police did not release his name, say police are investigating. A Bay City police news release says officers answered a report of an early morning fight on Sunday. The statement said two males were arguing in an apartment and one of them attempted to fight the officers. The officers tasered him and his reaction led them to immediately call for emergency medical help. He was pronounced dead at Bay Regional Medical Center, which is not the outcome we had hoped for when we were trying to tase Beer Mug, certainly.
No, of course not.
But Beer Mug, I mean, in our defense for our plan, he's not even in Michigan. So, I mean.
And he's way older than 15.
Yeah, so he'd probably be fine. His heart, wouldn't even be in an apartment.
His heart's so much more stable.
He's got heart.
Yeah.
We know that.
That's true. We know Beer Mug's got one thing, it's grit.
But I saw this story and I thought, you know, you start putting this word out there and then it's going to influence young people to not tase their friends. And that concerns me, is that, you know, they're going to be missing out on an essential part of growing up. That's my fear.
Because they're all running around with tasers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, until a-holes like this print stories like this. People going down the wrong path. All right. Let's see. 5:33, Kevin and Bean Show. Should we take some calls? See what's up?
Sure. Okay.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So what it do?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Once again this morning, that is the prize for getting on the air. And once again today, you get a Snuggie, which I think you know is so much better than a blanket, so you don't get trapped under it. Psychomite, we've been getting a lot of emails lately wanting to know when the Poncho Patrol is going to be put into action. Do we have any kind of update on the
All you need to know is that as soon as the Snuggie Pub Crawl has anything to do with the Los Angeles area, the Poncho Patrol will be there to react. That's all there is to it.
Okay. So you're kind of waiting on them. We got to have an event to crash before
right.
we can crash.
The Poncho Patrol is really like the Department of Homeland Security. It's not. We're not actively trying to go out and hurt people. But if they're coming in on our territory, we got to make sure that everybody else is safe.
Gotcha.
It's a turf war. I understand. I got you. All right. Let's start with, look at this. Our friend Jeremy is calling us in Korea this morning on the Kevin Abid Show, or tonight for him. Hey, Jeremy. Welcome to the Kevin Abid Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, baby blue?
What'd it do, Jeremy?
I'm drinking.
What a surprise.
You? In South Korea, drinking?
But there's a purpose. I'm now drinking the pain away.
What were you doing before?
Just drinking for fun.
Okay. All right. What's hurting you tonight?
Korea lost in the World Baseball Classic, and baseball's really, really big here.
Mm-hmm.
And with the time difference, I watched it at work with my Korean teachers. I felt bad. There were kids around and they were cussing in Korean because they were so upset. So my heart's out to them.
Psycho Mike was at that game. Yes. And, of course, it was Japan and Korea last night. It was at Dodger Stadium. Tell us about it, Mike.
It was nuts. Like I was telling you guys before we went on the air, it wasn't like being at a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
It was like being inside a video game of a baseball game. Everything was louder and more exaggerated, and the fans were bonkers. It was like, if you go to a Dodger game, the announcer will say, "Now batting, Ichiro Suzuki." And last night, he would step to the plate and be like, horns over the PA. And in between every inning, it's like, and everybody's dancing. They're like unsynchronized dance. There was a ton of chicks in chicken suits, and I have no idea the relevance. But there was a bunch of broads in chicken suits, which was sweet. Yeah, I'm dead serious. And there was so much hot chicks. But it was like everything was super exaggerated and loud and colorful and cartoonish. But it was awesome. It was a very good baseball game.
Baseball's really, really big here.
Yeah.
Jeremy, do you know what the deal is with the women in the chicken suits? What's that all about?
You know, they have that here, too. And I still don't know, but going to baseball games here in Korea is exactly the same way. To the extent where I like going to baseball games here in Korea better than going to baseball games in America. It's so much more intense.
Yeah, because it's laid back. Baseball is pretty laid back here in the States.
Yeah, you can bring into the stadiums, you can bring in alcohol, and you can bring in food. So
well, no wonder Jeremy loves it.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're like tailgating, they really don't have a parking lot because most people take public transportation. So people get to baseball games hours early and just sit and just get hammered.
Yeah.
So
good times.
It's an interesting experience for each player that goes up to bat. They have a song for each player that they sing. So it's really, really interesting, the culture. It's really, really big here. So
all right, Jeremy.
That you have that experience.
It's weird that Jeremy sounds so lucid tonight.
Yeah.
He says he's in pain and he's drinking, but I don't think I've ever heard him sharper than he is right now. All
right,
thanks for the call from our one Korean listener. We very much appreciate it. I should have been there last night if there were Asian chicks who love baseball.
Oh, yeah. Listen, so much hot chicks. But the game last night, the best way to describe it would be if you took a baseball game and played it in a Vegas casino and then ate a bunch of mushrooms. That's what Asian baseball was like.
Let's try our pal Juan in Studio City. He's on line 3. It sounds like he had an interesting night. Hey, Juan, welcome to the Kevin Abid Show. What it do?
Thank you very much. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Yeah, it's one of a crazy night. I'm getting back home at the 101 right now. I'm drinking Baileys and smoking some cigarettes. I spent a crazy night with some Brazilian girls and doing a lot of stuff, I can tell you that.
You're enjoying that Baileys right now as you drive?
What's that?
I said you're having the Baileys now as you're driving?
Yes.
Ooh,
good call.
And I shouldn't say this on a radio station, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah, that doesn't sound perhaps wise.
What are you driving? So tell us about the Brazilian girls. Where did you find these girls?
Well, just a girl I date for a long time, but she called me up and said she had a party going on at the Cienega in Santa Monica at Jim Morrison's room.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a lot of beers and stuff going on. There were a lot of friends and stuff. So I came over, dropped in with a couple of beers and stuff like that. And we got
and it was on.
And we started doing drugs. And then
wow.
Yep.
This is the K-Rock listener that the advertisers could reach if they put a commercial on the Kevin and Bean show.
All right, Juan.
Good times, I guess. Be careful out there in all respects of your life. Thank you for the call. Let's try Rodney. He's in Riverside on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean show. Hey, Rodney. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
Well, what'd it do, nephew?
Well delivered, right?
That was a good one. That was a real good one. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because I'm black. I'm calling from Riverside.
Oh, all right.
Pull it off. All right, man. What's up?
Hey, I'm surprised you guys, especially Ralph, didn't talk about Battlestar Galactica yesterday.
He did.
Well, we sure did, and more than once.
Oh, really? Well, I guess Black is didn't hear too well. But anyway, what did any of you guys watch it?
I haven't yet. They piled up on my TiVo, and I haven't actually gotten to the ending yet.
Well, go ahead. I'm trying not to spoil it for you guys, but I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't what I expected. I didn't hear like a really wow, or I didn't see a really wow in the show. Like, man, wow, I couldn't believe that happened. But they wrapped it all up in a nice little bow. And
Ralph said it was depressing.
Well, kinda, yeah. But I mean, it's still nice to see a show go out like it's supposed to, instead of something like The Sopranos or see it getting canceled or something.
Yeah, I agree.
Every series finale now is going to look good for people compared to The Sopranos, because that was, if people don't remember, that was the show ends and you go, what the F?
I know. And then you have to talk to people the next 5 days to see what they think happened.
Exactly.
Nobody knows.
I think they achieved with The Sopranos what they wanted in the season finale, and that there's still now, you know, years after, more than a year after, chat rooms dedicated to what the meeting was,
I guess.
You know, internet forums of people trying to discuss the artistic decision to do that. So, I mean, I guess that's what he was going for. Because
to me, that was thank you for the call, Roddy. We appreciate it. To me, that was just the P.S. What I remember about that show is how great it was consistently over the course of the seasons.
True.
I mean, that was really one of the best shows of TV history. Eventually, one day, I do hope to get on board BSG. You know me; I like to be about 20 years late to watch things.
Right.
So eventually, I'll get the DVDs and I'll watch it. I'm sure I'll love it and I'll think, why didn't anyone tell me how good this show was?
We're going to punch you right in the face.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean show. We do have a good one planned for you today, including your chance to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. By the way, I checked yesterday. You know, this is our show, which is coming up next week at the Gibson Amphitheater with all the comedy legends of the Kevin and Bean show. Believe it or not, there are some single tickets available.
Oh,
I guess it works out that way. People, you know, buy up a row and then there's one left at the end or whatever it is. So if you love the comedy and want to go, and of course it's, you know, Boarding for Breast Cancer is for a great cause and it's a low ticket price and it's a ton of comedians on stage, you can still go, just maybe by yourself. But we are going to give away a pair of tickets this morning. In fact, next hour on the Kevin and Bean show. So stick around for that. Also, let's face it, you know, there's been some improvements in the economy lately, but a lot of people are still hurting. There's still a lot of unemployment, still a lot of underemployment. There are some new creative ways, some new things you can do to raise money that maybe you haven't thought of. If you're sitting around your house right now going, dude, I got to get some rent money together. What am I going to do? We may have some answers for you in the 7 o'clock hour today. Some stuff you haven't thought of. Our old friend Dr. Drew is going to be here today.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best.
He's got a book.
How he has time to read a book, much less write one. I don't know what the schedule
he
has.
And I just finished watching Sober House, which was awesome.
And he's buff and handsome. Just not forget
that.
That's
true.
Okay.
It is called The Mirror Effect. So we'll spend some time with Dr. Drew in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. We got a new internet roundup for you. Something called Bean's Urine Disaster you're not going to want to miss.
Wow.
And so much more, including Ralph's Showbiz Beat. We'll take a look at that right after this on the world famous. All this week, giving away tickets to go see him at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in June. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10, and then you qualify for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to see them anywhere in the world. Yesterday, they unveiled their American dates, by the way. So whatever city you like. I mean, if it's, you know, Boston or New York or Seattle or lots of Canadian cities, too, you can choose to go see them anywhere you want on their tour, including North America. So more details coming up, and your chance to win on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Congratulations to David Letterman and his longtime girlfriend, Regina Lasko. They finally tied the knot.
He got married.
Yeah, Dave broke the news last night during his show. He's 61. She's 48. They have a 5-year-old son named Harry.
And apparently the Justice of the Peace married them last Thursday in Chouteau, Montana. Apparently okay. Dave's got a joint in Chateau, Montana.
Sounds Haven't nice. They been together like, I don't know, 20 years or something crazy?
23 years.
Wow.
He said, I avoided getting married pretty good for like 23 years. He said, I secretly felt that men who were married admired me, like I was the last of the real gunslingers. Guy could avoid getting married for 23 years.
Had he never been married?
He had once before when he was a young man.
Early.
And then that didn't go so well.
Lisa, what's your impression? Would it be fun to be married to David Letterman? Would it be a laugh, or would he just be miserable like so many other comics
I do
are?
Not think it would be fun. He's too high strung. You hear about how much he worries all the time about his show. And no, I don't think it would be fun.
Yeah.
He seems to be a bit of a head case.
Yeah.
In terms of
and a perfectionist, which is great for the show.
Yeah, good
That's
for comedy.
That's good to live with.
Bad for life.
Yeah.
Another comedian who's recovering. Is Robin Williams underwent surgery for aortic valve replacement. And apparently he is doing remarkably well. Doctors say Robin was cracking jokes just 2 hours after the surgery. And apparently he is well on his way to recovery. So it's pretty major surgery, but
it is.
He's okay. It took him 3 hours. Go ahead.
Sorry? I was just going to ask if any of the jokes were funny. If the surgery may have improved his comedy.
Yeah, they did have a comedyectomy, apparently. They had to remove all the things that were funny in him. Took surgeons 3 hours to get through his chest hair, though.
Oh.
It was a problem. Yeah, that was the longest part of the surgery.
Dear God. Wow.
Michael Jackson may be treating himself to something now that he's signed that deal to do a record 50 shows at the London O2 Arena.
But that's it.
That's it. This is it.
This is it.
But this is it. He's going to give himself a treat. And that treat is another baby.
No.
No. Apparently, Michael is hoping to adopt another child to add to his family. Mike already has 3 kids, 2 boys named Prince Michael, and a daughter named Paris.
Oh, boy.
He's looking for a 4th.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Douchebag.
Are his too old for him to enjoy now?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Need something. He needs to restock the pond before he goes fishing. Do you think anybody, I realized when I was telling that story, I called him Mike. Think anybody calls him Mike? Hey, Mike, how's it going? Hey, Mike. No one calls him Mike, right? No. It's Michael.
Probably not.
Hey, Michael.
I bet you people in his real inner circle don't even call him Michael. They have some name that
some special name
prescribes,
Keeney Popo?
Yeah. Something wacky.
Hey, Fred Durst is talking again.
Great.
Guess what he's talking about?
Not singing, I hope.
No?
Pot bellies.
How he really did go out with Britney Spears. Come on. Seriously, I really did. Remember back in 2003 when he was all over the internet talking about his affair with Britney Spears?
Douchebag.
He's talking about it again.
He's pathetic.
He's sad. Tells MTV.com that he did indeed go out with Britney Spears, despite her denials. He says their short relationship was a fiasco of madness. Oh, please, you pretentious bastard. He said shortly after their relationship, things began to unravel for young Britney.
Oh, is that what sent her down the drain?
And he thinks, Lisa, that may have been because it was taboo for a girl like her, the princess of pop, to date a guy like him.
Oh, my
God. Bad boy of rock.
Yeah. God.
Well, I mean, we looked at it as a mistake at the time. We knew she blew it by returning his call, but I don't think that had very much to do with her subsequent problems.
No, man. Shook her to the core. Started circling the drain.
It's true. Once a girl gets a taste of that man boobs and bad tattoo combo.
When you go on the wrong side of the tracks, man, you have to pay the price.
Wow.
When you have a dalliance with the Durstinator. It's a fiasco of madness.
I hope that his cell phone sex tape was the last we heard of Fred Durst. I thought that was going to be it. He had bottomed out at that point.
Well, Limp Bizkit's getting back together, remember?
Yeah.
We have to deal with them again. The fiasco of madness.
Wouldn't it just be amazing if they came out with, like, the best album of the year?
Yes, that would be truly amazing.
Shocking. And we were forced to play it because
all of those things. Shocking and amazing. Speaking of shocking and amazing, E! Entertainment has announced they have re-signed Chelsea Handler for her freaking Chelsea Lately show for 3 more years.
Oh, really?
She's got a deal. That show will be on the air through 2012.
What's that about?
What is that about? Look, I know she's sleeping with the president of the network, but still, has he no shame?
Wow.
How are the ratings?
Joel McHale, our buddy, comes in from time to time from Soup over there. He says the ratings are pretty good.
I hate the public. The public is stupid.
They are stupid. That show's not funny, right? Anybody?
I've never watched it, but I've seen like her skits on other kind of like panel shows, and she's not good usually.
It just makes me angry. And here's something to make Bean angry. Sad news from Paramount Pictures.
What?
Zac Efron has pulled out of the planned remake of Footloose.
F*** that. That's what I gotta say.
You know, he was supposed to take over the Kevin Bacon role in the movie in the remake
of
the film.
Yeah, I thought that was a done deal, I thought.
I thought so, too. In fact, everyone had talked about it, even Zach. But apparently he has changed his mind and is leaving the production.
Oh!
Paramount says they're so excited about the project. Footloose, of course, is the movie based on the musical based on the movie.
Uh-huh.
And Kevin made Kevin Bacon a star in 1984. Zac Efron was apparently supposed to take over the role, but has backed out of negotiations. Hmm. So... I don't know who they will cast, but it won't be Zach. However, Zach is starring in a similar film, which I thought was interesting, called Sphincter Loose, which I thought was odd. But it's about being a boy.
He liking boys. He would have been perfect for that role, by the way.
He so would.
Will about Zac Efron, but he's got... I mean, he can do that.
And he'll be great in Sphincter Loose, too.
Yodeling. He's got 17 again coming out on April 17th, you know. I got my advance tickets. I'm ready.
I bet you do. Is that the kids are calling it these days?
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? TV personality Star Jones is 47 years old today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly. Yeah. Sadly, yeah. She had another birthday.
Come on, fatty. Keep up.
Actress Laura Flynn Boyle is 39.
She's fat, too.
Not so much, Laura Flynn Boyle. She's the opposite of fat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's scrawny. You know, I saw the other day in a TV show. Was who is her the girl from Twin Peaks? The other girl, the other hot
Maitre
one.
Oh.
No, not her. But she was one, but not her.
Yeah,
the other one,
the Nutty Buddy,
the daughter, Sherilyn Fenn. Yeah. She still looks good. Yeah. She still looks good for 40-ish, whatever she is.
Laura Flynn Boyle still looks good. Too, yeah, for whatever she is today.
She's 39 today. Allison Hannigan, our buddy, celebrates her 35th birthday, and Colts quarterback Peyton Manning celebrates his 33rd birthday. I'm sure his brother gives him a shout out.
Yay, birthday!
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, how about this? At 6:05, time to take a look at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Let's face it, you guys. There's too much stuff on the internet. It's impossible to navigate through all of it, right?
No kidding. Yes.
And I'd like to say that YouTube, as a channel, is more entertaining than CBS. I'd like to say that right up front. Is that there's more good stuff on YouTube than there is on the CBS television network.
That's pretty
but,
safe.
But you get on the YouTube and you can't get off, and it's impossible to see all the good stuff. And that's why we have a section on the Kevin and Bean part of the K-Rock website where we just basically devote it to the videos that you absolutely do need to see. For instance, you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about the little kid who was being interviewed about zombies, and for some reason his response to "Do you like zombies?" is "I like turtles."
Yes.
Remember that kid? Well, like everything else on the internet, they figured out a way to turn that into a remix. Here's a little of that.
All right, I like turtles. 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 I like turtles.
You could make a whole career really just out of taking the Christian Bale tape and taking this tape and taking some of the other news stuff that's out there and just putting a rave bed to it. You got yourself an album.
Absolutely.
I love the I Like Turtles kid, though. He's awesome. I still have no idea where that came from, but it was just so unbelievably random. I guess kids at a certain age are just obsessed with something, and his thing happened to be turtles. So
I think him and his friends said, okay, whatever this newscaster asks you, just say, I like turtles. And
he's like seven, though. I mean, come on.
Some little kids are funny.
All right. Here's the latest turtle video. And this one, the audio does not begin to do it justice. Have you seen Turtle Lovin' yet, Lisa?
No. What is it?
Oh, my God. This guy, I guess, was in the right place at the right time with his pet turtle, and he had a video camera. This turtle comes across a sneaker and makes mad, passionate love to it. This turtle is humping this sneaker like nobody's business. This is full-on turtle porn. Here's a little bit of what it sounds like, but you got to see it for yourself at the Internet Roundup.
Let's see how it
That's the turtle. That's the turtle who's making that noise.
Aww.
Rad.
He is going to town on that sneaker, I'll tell you. Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Also, Hugh Jackman, of course, one of the world's biggest movie stars, doing publicity all over the world. I don't know what project he was talking about here, but he's on a Japanese television show where he comes out. And just like Mike was talking about a few minutes ago with how crazy it was at the World Baseball Classic at Dodger Stadium last night.
Yeah.
Everything is amped up, like with flashing lights and lots of sound effects and jumping up and down and noisemakers. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how excited everything is on Japanese television. You've seen those Japanese shows that they sometimes, you know, put on American channels.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a talk show like that where Hugh Jackman comes out and there's five or six Japanese guys that are jumping around and high-fiving and running around him. And one guy comes up and for some reason, and I don't know why because the clip's in Japanese, he just takes a handful of Hugh, just grabs him right in the junk. Here's what that sounds like.
それではお待たせいたしました。映画オーストラリア主演ヒュージャックマンさんです。どうぞ。
Here comes you out from behind the curtain. Now, under what circumstances does the A-list actor come out and the host just grabs him by the junk? How does that happen?
Because he's a good-looking man.
Maybe that's what was going on.
Wow.
But you got to see that one to believe it. And you know, he's amazing because he always, like, takes everything with such a sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of stars, something like that happens, it would really throw them off. They'd be kind of ticked off about it. But he just totally rolled with it, and he just seems like he's having the time of his life.
The perfect very funny. Man.
Kimmel should adopt that technique on his show. Just every male guest he has.
Just grab him. Yeah. I could
great
see
idea.
Doing that.
Great idea. All right, this is, we're going through the internet roundup, but that's the section in the Kevin and Bean part of krock.com. We got some great new videos up there. They do a terrific job back there in the lab of putting videos up all the time. And this one a listener tipped us off to. The clip itself is a couple of years old because it's from the MTV Cribs that they did with the Ying Yang Twins.
Mm-hmm.
But what's great about this is somebody has taken the Ying Yang Twins, who, by the way, if you remember those guys, they're the guys who make this noise. And you can never really, I mean, if you've ever heard them talk, you can't understand anything that they're ever saying. So somebody has done the right thing and translated. So you'll hear the Yin Yang Twins, whatever it is they're saying, and then they've translated the words for you on the screen with what it is they think they mean.
Hey! Yo. How y'all doing? Yo. Come on in! It's me and my brother. And we make the Yin Yang Twins.
That's D-Rock.
I'm D-Rock. What's your name is?
My name Kane.
What's your name is again?
Kane.
Hey! Come on in!
Yeah.
Come on!
We've interviewed those guys a couple of times before, and everything is about making noise. I don't know if they don't have anything to say or what the deal is, but the video is very funny because I think they took some liberties with some of the translations on what the twins were saying. All right, Funny or Die has our next video. That's that awesome website that has so many good ones up there. And this is, this is a little social commentary. The beautiful actress Portia de Rossi is on, and she's taking a different approach. You know, there are a lot of people who were voting for Prop 8, and, you know, basically that's, you know, that hurts Portia because here she is she's one of the thousands of Californians that got married in that window between when it was allowed and when they took it away, right?
Right.
So here's a video where Portia is on. She's on that new TV show called Better Off Ted right now, but she's apologizing for marrying her longtime girlfriend Ellen DeGeneres, and you'll see why.
Thanks to Proposition 8, good people and animals like these will never again be subjected to the horrors of gay people getting married. But for me, it's too late. I know there is no way I can make up for the pain I have caused. All I can say is, I'm sorry.
Paid for by married gay people who are sorry.
She has pictures, for instance, of some of the Yes on 8 people out there holding signs. She's like, this woman right here got a paper cut from holding the sign, and I want to apologize to her for making that necessary. I told the mayor of San Francisco, when we had him on a couple weeks ago, that I only vote based on what will make Portia de Rossi happy, because I don't want to see her sad.
I know.
But it's a very funny video. You got to check it out. All right. Next up on the Internet Roundup, this is a couple of newscasters who have been together a very, very long time. They do the 9 o'clock news on WGN in Chicago, which is one of the big stations there. And they have a routine that they do in the break that is unbelievable. These are older people, but they have got this choreographed routine of what they do behind the desk where they high-five each other and sing and dance and swirl and do everything. And I'm not kidding you guys when I tell you this goes on for at least 2 minutes.
I mean, seen this. It's amazing what they do.
Like, how long would it take you to learn how to do all of those moves? It's insane, right?
It really is. It's hilarious.
It's like all the single ladies Beyonce video. It's like, how do they get this kind of choreography? How do these old people do this? But here's a little bit of the tape, but this is one you absolutely have to see. You're not going to believe it's real.
Da-da, da-da.
1 minute!
1 minute.
A lot of noises go along with the dance, I guess.
Yeah.
Yay.
And what's crazy about it is, I mean, you'd never know it if you're just watching the news. I mean, they couldn't be more sober and somber and more professional on the show. It's just like, all right, we'll be back with the weather. And then as soon as the camera's off of them, they start going into this crazy dance. And then when the camera comes back on, well, there's disturbing details in the plane crash. Recently had his feud with Jim Cramer, the Mad Money guy from CNBC. Well, apparently Stephen Colbert's got his own feud going on. There's been a little bit of a war of words between him and the chairman of the Republican National Committee, a guy named Michael Steele. And they've been exchanging words back and forth. And I guess Stephen Colbert felt like it was time finally to challenge him to a rap battle. So here's a little bit of Stephen with his hoodie up doing some battling against Michael Steele of the RNC.
DJ Jimmy Jam on the wheels of steel. Drop it like it's hot. Mike Steele gonna steal the mic with a flow so rich it'll get a tax hike. Dropping rhymes so fine they'll make you blush, and beats so fat you could call them Rush. Oh say, can you see by your mom's ugly face, we won't need Scalia to rule on this case. The chairman is missing, call Nancy Grace and crank up the right wing Republican base. You better get a voucher cause your rhymes are failing. Your game's a dying moose and I'm Sarah Palin. You're gonna disappear like the middle class. I'll take a penny out my loafer, put the rest up your ass.
Wow.
That is the great Stephen Colbert. And all of those videos, plus beer mug wrapped in bubble wrap and so much more, available in the Internet Roundup section, Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. I found something out shocking yesterday at KROQ, and that is that Rodney Bingenheimer, that little gnome who does the Sunday Night Overnight show that plays all the weird music.
Legend Rodney Bingenheimer.
Not only a rock and roll legend, Ralph,
yeah.
Comedy legend. Apparently a student of the genre like nobody's business.
How can we not know this?
Have you ever heard of the show? It's freaking hilarious. The guy's just...
You mean it's ironic?
No, he's hysterical.
Really?
Well, oh, just comic timing up the wazoo.
Wow.
Apparently, he has absorbed the history of comedy in America, and there is... I didn't even realize this, but he's like Milton Berle, Henny Youngman, all the greats rolled into one. Apparently, he knows every joke ever recorded,
wow,
ever said, even if it wasn't recorded, even if it was said one time on one stage by one guy, Rodney Bingenheimer knows the joke.
Huh.
Apparently, he cannot be stumped, but if you think you can stump him, you will win tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which is a week from Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, and that's the unbelievable show that we have with our friend Patton Oswalt, with Jay Moore, with Kevin Nealon. Jimmy Kimmel is going to be there. You've heard about the lineup. It's virtually sold out now, but you can win those tickets if you can stump Rodney, the human joke machine, coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Rodney's coming in this morning. I guess he can come in and talk to the listeners, is
awesome,
what I understand. So, yeah,
I think he's got
amazing.
A cot. I think he's got a cot in the back, actually. I don't think he really goes home anymore.
No,
he's like the Phantom of the Opera. He kind of lurks in the drop ceiling here and just kind of ascends upon us on a chandelier once in a while.
Anyway, your chance to stump Rodney coming up in about 10 minutes if you want those foolishness tickets. Guys, I had a situation on my vacation last week that I feel like I need to share with you. I mean, we do have a longstanding policy on this program that no matter how embarrassing it is, if something happens to you, you have to share it. Am I right?
Yes.
You've teased us with this story long enough, and I'm dying to know the details.
Well, I was at I was treating myself. I was on vacation. I had some time. So I was treating myself to delicious Denny's lunch. And I walked into the Denny's bathroom, and as I walked in, waiting to use the urinal, there was a guy standing in front of me, a big, beefy guy using the urinal ahead of me.
Right.
And he finished up his business, turned around, and walked away.
Right.
And by the way, it always icks me out when somebody doesn't wash their hands when they leave the bathroom. It was that kind of guy. And not only was the kind of guy that just walked out immediately and started shaking hands with friends and neighbors without washing his hands after using the urinal, but he didn't flush the urinal either.
Oh, why do people do that?
Tell me why people do that. That's bad form, right?
Because the urinal
handle is
icky.
He doesn't want to touch the thing, and he doesn't want to wash his hands.
Right.
I guess, but I mean, look, I understand that I'm not getting anywhere near that guy's urine, so it shouldn't really bother me.
But
I mean,
someone's got to do it, right?
It's just
at some point.
it's an aesthetic thing, I guess, that you don't – I mean, you want to walk up – you want to have clean stuff in front of you, right?
Of course.
You don't want to walk up to a urinal that's full of pee.
I suppose.
I guess. Mean, does it bother you guys
icky.
Or no?
It doesn't bother me in the least.
I think it's kind of icky. So I step up.
It's like when
you
go to those troughs at a ball game or something. There's a bunch of guys just filling a trough, you know?
Yeah,
just,
but doesn't the water, like, it's run just, through? It's just
that has an automatic flush.
Just pee. No, it's just
pee.
It's tacky.
It's just pee. It's icky. So I walk up after him, and I'm already a little bit grossed out, and I walk up to the urinal, and I apologize for having to tell this story, but I do. And as I step up to the urinal, the sunglasses that are poked into my shirt that I have, you know, they have hanging on the front of my T-shirt,
yeah,
fall off my T-shirt into the urinal that is full of the other guy's pee.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Now, these are my sunglasses, and I, you know, I don't treat myself to a lot of nice things, but they are a pair of Ray-Bans. And for me, I mean, for a guy who spent most of his life with $15 sunglasses, a pair of Ray-Bans has got to cost, I don't remember now, I've had them a couple of years, but it's got to cost 80, 90 bucks, right?
Uh-huh.
You're not flushing them down the toilet, I'll tell you that.
They're too much to walk away from is what
yes.
I initially think. And then I
yes.
think, but
that's
they're
not
also
even an option walking away.
No.
That's not an option.
Is it not an option? Because
no.
it sure occurred the
hey,
hell to
guys,
me. I'll
you're
tell you
kidding
that.
Me. Let me ask
no.
you something. Would it be an option depending on what was in the
yeah,
toilet?
Yeah, of course.
I was just about
okay.
to say that.
That's
if there was other particles.
Pee is like nothing. Pee is nothing.
It is totally sterile. Ralph's
it
right.
Is.
I mean, it's gross, but it's sterile.
Comes out of the body sterile. Boom.
But it's some other
dude. I'm not even rinsing them off. I'm putting those sunglasses right back on.
See, now, I am so surprised to hear your guys' reaction to this because I thought there would be a dilemma for you as there was for me because I stood there and I was thinking, that's a $90 pair of sunglasses. I sure can't walk away from those. But then on the other hand, I sure don't want to have to fish them out of the urinal and then sterilize them. And then now every single time I put them on, I'm going to be thinking about that dude, you know?
Doesn't even
nobody
bother
wants
me.
That.
Doesn't even bother
well,
me.
Well, I mean,
really?
You don't happily put your hand in someone else's
I
pee.
I do. I splash around in it like a kid in a puddle.
It would bother me, but I would reach in and get him.
I would
absolutely
so much rather
would.
Be peed on than spit on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
You know
yeah, I
mean? I guess,
yeah,
I guess so. But fortunately, yeah. I didn't have that choice to make. Fortunately, those weren't my options. I'm alone in the restroom now, and I'm looking at my sunglasses. They're fortunately not 100% submerged. Fortunately, there is a corner that I can reach in and lift it out without actually getting down in the yellow. You know what I mean?
Oh, come on.
So I that's exactly what I stood there for a second, and then I thought, well, I can't just leave my sunglasses behind. So I did kind of fish them out by the corner, and then I took them over, and I turned the sink on, the hottest possible setting that I could find on that water, and just let that water just roll as hot as it could be. And then, you know, mini sterilized them in mm-hmm. the sink right there. Did not put them back on my face until I got them home and put them in the dishwasher. So that was
you
my.
You put them in the dishwasher.
You're
put
a little prissy. You're a little prissy bean. That's a little prissy.
I don't want to. I don't want pee glasses though. I don't want that to be the thing that I think of.
You
I mean, it still is
them under
the thing
tap and just put them on.
Yeah, that would have been fine. I wouldn't have put them in the dishwasher.
I put them in the dishwasher.
By the way, didn't your dishwasher melt the plastic of the Ray-Bans?
No, I didn't put them on the super hot setting, but I did put them in the dishwasher.
Surprise! You had to sterilize it with all the evil creatures crawling all over it.
See, I'm really, really surprised. I thought that would be a dilemma for you guys because it sure was for me. I was very close to just walking away from it and just throwing it out.
Wow.
I really was.
Wow. Did you have to hike your skirt up before you used the urinal when you were in the bathroom there, miss?
Well, fortunately, I've gotten over it, and I actually have worn the sunglasses a couple times since
But you think
then,
of
so
that guy every
well.
Time, don't
I
you,
do,
B?
And oh, I hate it so much.
Sad.
It's so icky. Lisa, thank you. I appreciate you and the other girls having
well,
yeah. my back.
Well,
thanks,
all you ladies feel
that.
The same.
Hang on tight, spider monkey!
6:38 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's today is Tuesday, which means a week from Friday, so about 10 days from now, April 3rd, at the Gibson Amphitheater. It's Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness. Check out this lineup, you guys. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel opens the show, and all night long we got his house band from the TV show Cleto and the Cletones playing for us.
Mm-hmm.
We got you Jay Moore,
yep.
Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, and Sarah Silverman all on one bill on one night for a fantastic cause, Boarding for Breast Cancer. Pretty
it's
good deal, right?
Amazing.
All right.
Yeah. Hi, Rodney
great.
Bingenheimer.
Hi.
And it's completely sold out, but we're going to give you tickets right now if you can stump Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You
tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine. He's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine. He's Rodney.
Rodney, Mazel how did you
tov.
Get...
and to you as well. How did you get to be such a such an expert on comedy?
I've been around entertainers a long time.
Mm-hmm. But mostly musicians, though, right?
All kinds of entertainers at the English Disco. All
right.
The comedians would come in with the rock stars. We'd all sit around, and they'd tell me all their famous jokes, and I'd just learn them.
Uh-huh. And you have a photographic memory or something? You've committed each of them to memory, every joke you've ever heard in your whole life of 80 years?
I have a stereophonic memory. I remember everything twice. In both ears.
Okay. All right. So here's the way it's going to work, Roddy. We've got some callers on the line who believe that they can stump you. They're going to give you the setup to a joke, and then all you have to do is give them the punchline. And if they are able to stump you, then they go in the drawing to win the tickets for the April Fool's.
No one's going to win. I know every joke.
You know every joke. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's give it a try and see how it goes at 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with Raul in Downey. He's on line one. Michael will just take these in order. Hey, Raul, you're on with the great Rodney Bingenheimer. Go ahead.
How's it going? My joke is, what did one snowman say to the other?
What did one snowman say to the other? Let's go see Spandau Ballet.
I doubt snowman. That's it. Raul, is that it?
No, it's smells like carrots.
carrots.
See, okay. you didn't know that one, Rodney.
That doesn't make any sense. I'd rather see Spandau Ballet. It's a better show.
Raul is in the drawing for the tickets. Chris is in Long Beach. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Stump Rodney the Joke Machine.
Morning, guys. Hey, Rodney.
Hey.
All right, what does an elephant use for a vibrator?
Sheena Easton.
Although that's very funny, I doubt that's the punchline Chris was looking for. What is it, Chris?
I'm epileptic.
Oh, wow.
All right, you are in the drawing. Do you get that one, Rodney? No. And epileptic, see, because they move
Sheena
around
Easton's
a lot.
Sheena Easton's not epileptic.
Oh, dear God.
Stan, it's not even making
Jason
sense.
Is in Bellflower. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Stump Rodney.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, what do you call a black guy that flies a plane?
Bronski Beat.
Yeah. A pilot, what do you rate this?
Yeah, come on. Oh. All right, Jason, thank you. Wendy is in Azusa. So far, Rodney, three contestants, all three have stumped you. How do you feel about that?
They've gotten it wrong. I have the right answers, and they're wrong.
Your punchlines are better.
Sorry, Wendy.
Bad rap.
Let's try Tyler in Irwindale. Tyler is in Irwindale on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tyler, stump Rodney the Joke Machine. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. All right, why do bald men have holes in their pockets?
So that the Boomtown rats won't... break up.
What?
No, you geriatric twink. It's so they can run their fingers through their hair.
Okay,
for that one. Thank you. You're in the drawing, though, Tyler. Let's try Jason out in Victorville. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Stump Rodney.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right, Rodney, where can you find a dog with no legs?
In a big country.
Rodney, all of your answers are songs from bands you play on your show. They don't have anything to do with the joke that's being presented.
Well, it's a big country.
Jason,
big country.
Where do you find a dog with no legs?
Right where you left him.
That's pretty good.
That's not all right. Funny. Poor dog.
It's not a real dog, Rodney. It's just a joke. They made it up.
I'm going to help that dog.
We got time for a couple more.
I used to
How about
pigeons? And sometimes the pigeons would break a wing and they couldn't even fly anymore. You'd have to feed them by hand.
And the pigeon would be right where you left them.
Sunflower seeds. Diet RC Cola.
Right. Corey is at Van Nuys who would like to stump Rodney and maybe get in the drawing for the April Foolishness tickets. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin Bean? Hey, Rodney.
Hi.
Hey, my joke is, what has more courage, a loaf of bread or a pebble?
Kajagoogoo.
No, those are not your choices.
The answer is, it's a pebble, because it's a little boulder.
It's a little boulder.
Well, see, there you go. Yeah. You didn't say they had to be funny, Rodney. We just said they had to
be
jokes.
Doesn't make any sense.
All right, two more real fast. Jason is in Fullerton. Hey, Jason, you're on the air. You got a chance to stump Rodney. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, what's up? All right, why does Snoop Dogg carry an umbrella?
Because it's raining.
That's not even trying, Roddy. What's the answer?
For drizzle.
For drizzle. Ah, see,
gotcha.
Okay.
That's what I said. It's raining just a little bit.
All right, one more Rochelle is in Riverside on line four. Hey, Rochelle, final contestant. Everybody else has been able to stump Rodney. Let's see if you can.
What does an old lady smell like?
Stray cats.
That's not the worst answer.
Yeah, maybe 100 of them, in fact. What's your answer, Rochelle?
Depends.
Oh, see, there you go. All
depends
right.
on what? I don't even understand.
Oh, Rodney. All right, Raul, Chris, Jason, Rochelle, Tyler, another Jason, Corey, and then a third Jason. We got three Jasons out of those eight
too
calls.
Many
What's
Jasons.
Up with that?
And yet, that's not, we don't have a Jason for the winner. It's Chris in Long Beach. Chris in Long Beach.
Chris.
Hey, Chris, congratulations. You're going to the show, my friend.
Right on. Thank you, guys. I've been trying to get tickets, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Glad
Rodney,
you
thank you.
Still think Sheena Easton's a better answer.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine. He's Rodney. Brass Monkey.
Hey! Well done, you guys. Well done. You guys remember when the Beastie Boys were fun? Oh, those were the days.
Before Tibet.
Before Tibet, exactly.
Well, they all got a Sherpa and got on the back of a llama.
That is Brass Monkey. Beastie Boys are the world famous K-Rock. It is 6:51. Hey, are you underemployed or unemployed? We got some new ways for you to make money that we'll tell you about coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, Rob's got the...
What?
Tell you, when I was a young man, things I did for money. That's... I'll have to talk to Dr. Drew about it later.
Okay.
Still got some repercussions.
Personally, you mean quiet?
Yeah, my jaw still makes that click.
I
was a chewing gum tester. God,
yeah,
what is
that
wrong
job.
With your mind?
Well,
you
Lisa's
people.
Jaw does that click, and she's never been a
yeah.
chew.
I never.
She
have.
Just dislocates it like a snake. Are you kidding me? Her jaw just opens like a boa constrictor swallowing a sheep.
Ralph can't even drive by that alley anymore without his ass hurting.
Yeah. Worst job I've ever had was working for a party rental joint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That used to rent tents for outdoor parties. This is back when I was a kid in Philly. And they would rent them in the summertime because it rained a lot back east. And the tents would, when they went back and stored them, would get filled with mold and mildew.
Uh-huh.
And my job was scraping the tents and cleaning off mold, mildew, and other fungi off of canvas and plastic tents for a summer. That was
before
the
you sent them
ever.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nasty.
Until this job, that was the worst thing you'd ever done.
Yeah, until this. Now there's this. Let's take a look at this interesting list coming out of... where is this from? I can't find the source. Somewhere off the internet. But with I Love You Man being so popular in theaters with Paul Rudd and Jason Segel, someone asked... Oh, here. It's the Hartford Courant. It's the newspaper in Hartford, Connecticut. Asked moviegoers to name their top 10 celebrity bromances. These are celebrity men who are best... High-profile best buddies.
Okay.
Interesting list, I thought.
Like a Brad Pitt and a George Clooney?
Exactly, Lisa. Number 5 on the list.
Okay.
And obviously Matt Damon, Ben Affleck.
Number 2 on the list. And I thought they would be number 1 for sure.
I did, too.
But they weren't at all.
Hmm.
Number 10 on the list was Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
Sure.
I guess that's a legendary bromance.
Sure. Well, they keep doing all those TV shows together, too.
Right. Number 9, John Schmoltz and Tiger Woods. Did you know John Smoltz and Tiger Woods were bros?
I did not.
I didn't either, but apparently they're very, very close friends.
Hmm.
The Rat Pack, Sinatra, Dean Martin.
Sure.
Okay.
Sammy Davis Jr., that crew was number 8.
I didn't know they were including dead people.
I guess they are. Because
the first thing I thought of was, after Pitt and Clooney, was Newman Redford. And then I thought, they're probably not going to include dead people.
They not on the list. Everyone else on the list is alive. Just to keep you... Keep you honest. Will Smith and Tom Cruise, number 7 on the list.
Yeah, that's kind of new, but...
That is new, but it's very public.
Waiting for the spaceship, right?
This is weird. I didn't know this one at all, number 6. William Shatner and country star Brad Paisley.
I would know that.
Apparently
no
are very close friends, yes.
All right, I got one. Leo DiCaprio and gay Spider-Man guy.
Tobey Maguire.
Number 4th on the list.
Okay.
Well done. Well done.
Seems like Mike knows an awful lot about men hanging out.
You think?
An inproportionate amount of time together.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider.
Of course.
Very popular bromance.
Makes sense, yeah.
And the number 1 on the list?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
That should be number 1 on everyone's list. But Matthew McConaughey and Lance Armstrong.
Oh, right.
That makes sense, yeah.
Bros. Bromance.
Right.
That's the most homoerotic, too, on the list.
They're,
I think,
yeah,
of all,
shirts
you know?
Off. They're
it's
always, like,
they're the best looking and best
together.
Shape. That's why. Guys in great shape always get that hit, you know, that they're...
No, but look, George Clooney and Brad Pitt are on that list, and they're attractive and in good shape, but they don't go to
they
the beach
things,
shirtless
right.
and do push-ups together.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
And ride bikes all over town.
Or do they? I don't know.
Or do they?
That's a good list.
It is a good list. They also asked people, if you could pick one celebrity to have a bromance with, who would it be?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole other list, but I thought it was surprising at the poll. The person who came in dead last, President Barack Obama.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. People don't want to hang out with him.
No one's interested in having a bromance with Barack.
Aww. Barry does not seem like a fun guy. I mean, he seems like a smart guy. Does not seem like a fun guy.
No, it's true.
My Regis Philbin is so far and away number one on my list. If I could just hang with anyone all the time, it would be Regis Philbin. He's my man. Like, I love him so much. I want to do nothing but, like, live with him.
All celebrities, you want to hang out with Regis Philbin.
For guys, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, why not? The guy
what
is...
else you got, Ron?
We can't
He's
get alleged. Dr. Drew here fast enough. We're going to need an hour just to work on being... Between fear of urine and getting a haircut in every state and wanting to hang out just filming. You it's went away up. Hunked up and came back from your vacation hunkier.
Mm-hmm.
If that's possible. Regis was on Jimmy Fallon last night. It was very funny.
Taped it. Haven't watched it.
Nice. On NBC. Great news for Anne Hathaway. That Oscar nomination really has bolstered her career. They just announced this week that she will be starring in a motion picture based on the life of legendary movie and stage star Judy Garland.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Everyone knows Judy Garland, I guess, from Wizard of Oz mostly, but she was a huge movie star back in the 40s and 50s. And
I could see her doing that.
I could, too.
There's
She's a good singer and dancer.
Yeah.
And there is some resemblance. Judy Garland was 5 foot even.
Well,
and Anne Hathaway's 5'8".
Yeah, there's that.
They'll have to work around that. But other than that, I could absolutely see it. And she was terrific at singing and dancing on the Oscars, I'll tell you, with Hugh Jackman. That was really impressive.
That's right.
So good for her. Apparently, they're going to, the people who bought the rights to Get Happy, which is the biography about Judy Garland and the sad, sad life of Judy Garland, are going to do a movie version and also a stage version. And Anne may do both.
Wow.
Come on, get happy.
No, that's a different get happy.
Wasn't it the phenomenal actress Judy Davis who played Judy Garland in the TV movie recently, or not too long ago? And she was unbelievable. Won an Emmy for it and the whole deal.
She was terrific.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, this is for people who don't know Judy Garland. She's one of those stars who was huge and then got hooked on drugs and burned out and died young.
Yeah. Well, she was the product of the studio system back in the 30s and 40s. They would get these young actors especially and just give them drugs to keep them awake and keep them peppy and keep them working. And then they would give them drugs to make them sleep so they could get some rest and then get them back on the sound stages and pump them up full of drugs again. So by the time she was in her teens, she had already had several years of drug abuse under her belt.
Yeah. Really sad.
It's rough stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before I get to that, it's Tuesday. So I want to give you a heads up on the new DVDs are in stores today in case you want to check them out. Quantum of Solace on DVD today. If you want to check out Daniel Craig and his second outing as James Bond, you can do that. Bolt, the very popular Walt Disney film. I think it was a Disney film, wasn't it? The animated? I know it's animated. I don't know if it's Disney or not, but
I don't know.
It's about the dog who does cool stuff.
It's Disney, yes, I'm being told by DNN.
There we go.
Of course he'd know.
TV on DVD in Treatment, the popular HBO series available on DVD today.
That's coming back, too.
It is coming back. Andy Richter Controls the Universe, the complete series available on DVD as well. If you want to check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly LeBrock. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
In Weird Science.
Woo!
She was the thing they built.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall and that other dude.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That other dude.
she was the one.
She owes me a lot of money in lotion.
Oh, stop it.
I'm just saying.
She doesn't owe anyone anything. You know why? She married Steven Seagal. Yeah, she's paid her debt to society.
And then she starred in a movie with him when they were married.
Yeah, I think they did.
She was the nurse when he was in a coma. God damn. Movie was that?
Psycho Mike at KRock.com.
Yeah.
She's 49 years old today. Lara Flynn Boyle turns 39. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory over there on CBS is 36. Allison Hannigan, our good friend from How I Met Your Mother and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is 35. And Colts quarterback Peyton Manning turns 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So despite the stock market going up almost 500 points yesterday, most people aren't really feeling good about the economy and about their personal finances. Would you guys say that's accurate right now?
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
People are hurting. I mean, let's face it. Look at what Lisa has to do to make a living. Look at what Lisa's doing.
We're
what
not she talking puts about with, that on
but
the
look
air.
At what you have to do. I mean, I'm just talking about this job. Oh. I'm not even talking about the stuff you do on the side. Look how bad it is for you, Lisa. You got to put up with this. You got to come in and get verbally assaulted every morning for 5 hours just to pay the rent.
I know.
So it's bad out there, and it's really been interesting. Every week there seems to be a new article. Ralph just brought in one yesterday about how applications at strip clubs are up to astronomical levels right now because there, you know, there are young women who are looking around and going, I got to make some money. What do I have? What could I use? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't want you to take that in a negative light. That's fine if you want to do that. But lots of people are looking for other things that they maybe in flush times would not ordinarily think about doing. And we've got a couple people to talk to here, including K-Rock listener Natalie, who emailed us on this very same topic a couple of weeks ago. Hey, Natalie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Natalie.
Thanks for joining us. So what's going on? You're looking for a way to make a little part-time extra money, huh?
Yeah, I need an extra job. I work a 9-to-5 job during the week, and mm-hmm. I'm always on Craigslist looking for part-time work. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled upon an ad on Craigslist, and it was for a hair whisperer. So I was like, yeah, we'll whisper in someone's hair for money. So I clicked on the link, and, you know, I just kind of skimmed it, and I noticed it's picked lice out of little kids' hair.
Oh, no.
And without reading the description, I went straight to the compensation, and it was $25 an hour. And so I read through it more. I went on the website of the owner, and yeah, it sounds like a good deal. $25 an hour. You devote a couple hours to each kid, and then you do a follow-up to make sure you got it. It's like an extermination job, but not
I mean, let's face it. If you're not the type of person who is automatically grossed out by picking bugs out of someone else's hair, $25 is great pay, right?
It is. That's like, what, at least $75 to $100 at least for one kid. And you can do it. It's all after hours, like after my 9-to-5 job and on the weekends.
How about that? Now, did you follow through? Did you actually apply for this job?
Well, see, here's the problem. I researched it, and then I decided, well, you know, I want to know what I'm getting into. I kind of have a weak stomach, so I started looking up lice and larvae. And
well, that was a mistake.
Pretty gross. Yeah.
They're really, really tiny. You can't see much, I don't think, when you're actually doing it, right?
But they're all clustery and teeny, and I can't stand clusters for the life of me. I can't deal with them, and so... Okay, now I'm just a little hesitant.
It's funny because in the ad that you sent, it said squeamish people need not apply, and you probably didn't even think you were squeamish until you started seeing the details of what you'd be pulling out of people's heads. But
yeah.
I thought, I don't know anything about lice. I don't have young kids or anything like that, but I thought that there was a shampoo or something. You could just wash the kid's hair and the lice is gone. Why do you need a person to come over and remove it?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I used to have it when I was a kid, and my mom just took care of it, but I think now you actually have to go through and pick them out individually if you want to get it.
I think it may be the eggs, because the shampoo might not kill the eggs, and you can't get them off your hair because they really attach. So
and
when
they
eggs hatch, then you have lice again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Natalie, I'm glad you called that one to our attention. On Craigslist, tell me what it's like out there. Are there a ton of jobs that people are advertising for, or do you go on there every day and it's pretty slim pickings?
No, I'm on there. Well, there's nothing that I would want to do. I don't want to, you know, make adult videos on the web. But my favorite
Let's not be so hasty, Natalie. Yeah. I mean, come on.
He keeps trying to push women into porn and strip clubs.
I'm saying it's
there
a legitimate
way. There have to be
way.
Other things.
It's a legitimate way to make a living, and you bring so much happiness to the world, Natalie. Why do you hate? Come on.
You know, I mean, actually, I saw an ad on Craigslist, and it might be you. There was this guy who was looking for a maid, but he said for $40 an hour topless, and then he would pay $50 for full nude. And that I saw that one just the other day, and I actually paused for a second. I was like, well, no.
All right, I got to start. I got to do some research on that. That's fantastic. All right, so you haven't settled on anything yet. You're still out there looking, right, Natalie?
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think? Should I do it? Should I call the lady?
I don't know.
They give you gloves.
I'm sure they do. I mean, this is a business. The Hair Whisperers is a business that's been around for a long time. This is what they do. I'm sure they've got it down. It's just a question of how much you want to spend your time pulling clusters of bugs out of people's hair.
Oh, yeah. No. See, they might jump on me and I don't know.
I used to comb fleas out of – I mean, I don't do it anymore because I take them in and have them done or get the stuff that you put on their back. But I used to comb fleas and there was something very satisfying about doing that and getting rid of them. I don't know. I think this might be a kind of a satisfying job in a way.
Yeah. But, you know, no one likes other people's kids either, Natalie. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
they're going to be crying.
Like
they're going to be crying. They're not going to be
loving it.
This may
not be for you.
Yeah. All right, Natalie. Hey, good luck. Let us know what you end up doing. All right, sweetheart?
Great. Thanks, you guys.
Okay,
thanks
bye.
Very much. All right. Maybe here's an idea for Natalie. I know Dave, the King of Mexico, is interested in this. Our next guest is named Tom Fuller. He joins us from a company called leaseyourbody.com. Now, he's the one advertising for people. He's not the guy who's looking for it. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Leaseyourbody.com sounds like it's heading in the direction of where I was trying to get Natalie going, but it actually doesn't have anything to do with that, right?
Yes, no, nothing like that at all. It's more so where people wear temporary tattoos for a month at a time and get paid to do so.
And what kinds of stuff would you be asking people to advertise?
Well, I personally wouldn't be asking them. Basically, I'm contacted by advertisers who go on the website, and they look around and find certain people who they want to wear a temporary tattoo. When you post a profile on the site, you actually say, hey, I will wear a temporary tattoo on my forehead for this amount. I'll wear one on my arm for this amount, you know, and on my stomach for this amount. So when you post a profile, you automatically say how much you will wear a temporary tattoo for. And so advertisers, they look for people who maybe are in a certain area or going to a certain event or so, and they contact me when they find somebody who they're interested in, and I, in return, would contact the person who said that they would wear the tattoo. And
kind of connect.
Are chubby Mexicans who go to a lot of concerts and a lot of sporting events in high demand?
What was that again?
Chubby Mexicans who go to a lot of concerts and a lot of sporting events. Are they in high demand?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
He's got a big forehead, too. Yeah. I'm looking at him right now.
We don't want to mess up the face, but the arms would be awesome.
That is, Thomas, that's Dave, the King of Mexico, who is our assistant producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's like everybody else. He's looking to make ends meet here, and he was thinking that your company, Lease Your Body, may be something he wants to look into, but he doesn't want to put it on the forehead. I mean, what kind of money can you make for just having a henna on your arm if you're selected?
Well, it all really depends. Some people choose anywhere from lowest to about $50 on up to, I mean, you can choose $5,000. Now, of course, advertisers are, you know, wanting to get the best deal possible, too. So I say most people, when they're doing on their arms, are usually in the few $100 range.
Wow, I'm surprised.
And for how
I'm
long?
It's a 1 month deal.
Okay.
Like that. And basically how the advertiser gets known that you're wearing the tattoo is basically you will take a picture once a week of the tattoo plus like a magazine ad that shows the actual date, you know, a newspaper that shows the actual date so that you can tell that the person is wearing the tattoo.
Okay. Can you tell us what kinds of clients you're working with? I mean, I think a lot of people would be interested in something like this, but they don't want to advertise something dumb or something offensive. I mean, what products are we talking about here?
Well, there's been many people contact me. It's a lot of internet websites and stuff that have contacted me. Fitsingles.com, different. There's dating sites. There's ones that have to do with credit cards and stuff like that. But it's a whole broad range of advertisers that do contact me. There are some adult ones, but a lot of people don't want to wear adult oriented type of temporary tattoos. So.
I don't think that's a problem for Dave, though, is it?
No, I don't think so. Not on my arms.
You do bighangingones.com or whatever they ask you to do, right?
Nah,
right,
yeah.
But how much could Dave make for his forehead?
Now, the forehead, some people don't even offer the forehead as an advertising tool because some people just don't want to do that. But there's people that usually, I guess the average is probably about $1,500 probably for the
wow.
forehead.
Dave.
That's worth
Damn.
It.
How about that?
Yeah.
For a month, huh?
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be funny. You do
Dave
it for comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Dave has a pretty high-profile job. I mean, he mentioned, he goes to a lot of concerts, a lot of sporting events. Obviously, he's at all the Kevin and Bean, you know, K-Rock events. I mean, he gets a lot of eyeballs on him. So it sounds like he'd be the kind of person they'd be looking for. So leaseyourbody.com is Tom's website if you want to check it out and get more information about this. It sounds like a great idea. And how long has this been up and running so far, Thomas?
It's been up for a few years, and it's done very well. We've had a couple of problems with hackers keep on trying to hack into the site and going into the forums and trying to put bugs and bots and stuff like that in there. So we've had to clean off the forum new. But it's been for a few years.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a good deal. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are listening up and thinking, hey, that's perfect for me. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Thomas Fuller, CEO of LeaseYourBody.com. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
All right.
it. Thanks.
All right, so desperate times call for desperate measures. Maybe you want to be like Natalie and you want to go out there and start picking lice out of kids' hair. maybe want to be like Dave and get BigHangOnes.com on your forehead. We want to know what it is you're doing out there. What are the jobs that maybe we haven't thought of yet that are available that are ways for you to make extra cash? That's what we're looking for right now. We'll open up the phone lines now at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of people are hurting. This is your chance to help a brother out. We'll take a break and take your calls next on the World Famous. I almost feel like we're doing a public service here this morning. It's very rare that we do something that benefits our listeners, but I feel like today this conversation is going to help some people out because we're looking for ways that people can make some extra money, some part-time jobs maybe you haven't thought of, things that are out there that are available for you that you haven't thought of. Like,
sure.
For instance, Blair is in Newport Beach. He's on line 6. This is a perfect example of a job that maybe Mike would have thought of. I certainly wouldn't have. Hey, Blair, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up, Lisa Mae?
Hi, Blair.
What are you doing, dude?
So, long story short, I'm an athletic dude. I'm very, very in shape and fit. And I was on Craigslist on back when they had the erotic section. And I saw a bunch of guys posting posts up for straight guys to come give them sensual massages. So, hey, dude, posting up, hey, you know, I want a massage. So,
now, help me out here. Why do the gay guys want straight guys to come massage them?
Because they didn't want a happy ending, I'm guessing. I don't really know.
But they don't need you to be a massage therapist.
Say that again?
They don't care if you're a massage therapist or not.
No. They just go over, you oil them up, and give them a massage. And they paid me like up to $300.
Really?
And it was
no
like,
kidding.
Yeah.
And they didn't hit on you?
Say that again?
They didn't hit on you?
No, not at all. Just go over, give them a massage, and get out of there.
That's weird. Why would they want a clumsy amateur rather than a guy who's a professional who gives a great massage who potentially they could also have sex with? Like, why would they pay for you?
Usually it was guys that you wouldn't look at and be like, oh, yeah, he would go pay for a massage. It was more like the closet gay guys. So, I mean, I don't know.
Mike?
In fact, one of the guys I went over had a wedding ring and, like, a picture of his wife next to the bed.
Wait. Blair.
Yeah, Mike wants to get in on some of this.
That's what I'm thinking.
You're telling me you did the. How many times you do this?
I did about 4 or 5 times, and then my girlfriend found out and was not okay with that.
Not one time did the guy hit on you?
Not directly.
Okay.
But I emailed him before and talked to him before. I was like, hey, look, I'm straight. I'm not going to, you know, sleep with you. So.
All right. I buy that. Now, honestly, no wiener play. Not once.
No, not at all.
Wow, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Mike, you would totally do that. You're comfortable around a man's body.
Oh, for $300? Yeah. And if it's, like he says, it's on the up and up, no wiener play?
Yeah.
All
right. So, Blair, so our listeners, we're trying to help out our listeners. They can find a listing like that on Craigslist, huh?
Yeah, there's hundreds of them. No longer, they don't have that erotic section anymore. It's like the male for male friend.
I know. The stupid attorneys general are cracking down on the erotic section on Craigslist all over the country. It's bogus,
How
man.
How dare they? How dare they?
All right, Blair. Awesome call. Thank you so much. Boy, we have some great calls here.
Yeah.
We may have to extend this. Let's go to Daniel in West Hills. He's on line 1. Now, this is something I've heard of, but don't know anyone who's ever done it. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What are you doing for some extra cash these days?
Hey, you guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Daniel.
actually, it was a school sort of thing. We were sitting down with our profession. We needed a way to make money for the yearbook that's coming out. We didn't have enough pages. So we looked up online, and we found this this sperm donor hospital. So we all, once we checked out the specifications and the details, we all tried to get over there. Not only... Maybe out of the 7 guys I tried, I'd say only 4 got in, including myself. And some of the things, you know, you can make up to $100 per time.
How does that work? Is it on?
You know, but yeah, you know what? I have no clue. They just pay me $100 every single time, but they say up to in the agreement that they
sign. Okay, so let's think about this for a second. So if you're not wigged out by the possibility that there could be, in your case, little Daniels running around for the next 10 years, if that doesn't bother you, basically you're being paid to drive down to an office, masturbate, and walk out with a check. I mean, that's basically the job, right?
Yeah, you could do it about
once a week, they said. So you can make a, you could potentially make a good living off of it.
The only I hate men. This is, I mean, women, they'll do the eggs, right? But like it's surgery and you have to take
for a lot more money.
Lisa
though.
May, it's like $16,000.
It's an enormous commitment.
It's an enormous paycheck.
But you can walk in here once a week and do what you do at home and make $100 every time.
Here's the problem, though. Daniel, is it, you said you went down with a bunch of buddies and only a couple of you were accepted. Isn't it really strict, the kind of criteria that they...
It's crazy. I'm a very athletic person. I was in football my whole life, and I still work out crazy. But you have to be over 5'9", under a certain weight, a certain body type. You know, it's like...
No kidding.
You know, if you're a different ethnicity, they're asking for, like, certain ethnicity sometimes, too. So it's just weird.
They also let me ask you this. Do they take your picture in a profile and everything like that so they can put it in a book for a prospective recipient of your sperm? And they say, okay, how about this guy? Would you like him to be the father of your child? Is that how it works?
They just took down my name and everything, literally everything about me. I don't know about the picture, but I don't...
Do you have to fill out a health questionnaire, like, about your family background and all that?
Yeah. It's the whole entire questionnaire about my family's history, you know.
Interesting.
Exactly. It's really weird, but...
$100 a drop, though. I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not too bad. All right, dude. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we got to take a break. We got some fantastic calls. Please don't go away. We got everything from go-go dancing at a lesbian club, picking up cardboard, human guinea pig for medical experiments. I mean, there are ways out there that maybe you haven't thought of to make some cash, and we'll continue with this. 1-800-520-1067. What do you have? We'll talk to you next, coming up on the World Family. All right, it's 7:43. We're talking about ways for you to make a little bit of extra money if you're just joining us. We've already covered I'm a straight guy giving gay guys massages. We've covered sperm donations. We've covered picking lice out of little kids' hair. We've covered leasing out your body for henna tattoos to advertise products. What do you got? 1-800-520-1067. I know there's a lot of jobs out there that we didn't ordinarily think of. Let's try Jose in Los Angeles. He's got something that gives you a little fresh air and a little extra cash on the weekend. Hey, Jose, thanks for hanging on. What do you got for us, dude?
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Well, I like to pick cardboard on the weekends. It's not only a hobby, but it brings in a little bit of cash sometimes.
You pick up cardboard from where? Like on the side of the road or something?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you got to have it lined up, man, because it's like cardboard picking wars. There's some dudes that got their route lined up.
How much cardboard is there?
Well, you got to remember, like, if you go to the alleys in downtown, you got all kinds of boxes and shipment coming in. So if you set it up where you got it lined up, man, you can have cardboard for days. But if you're stepping on somebody's toes, then you got to watch out because, you know, the bicycles will come at you, you know, if you kind of...
Right. It's like the Sopranos in the picking up trash war, you know, the recycling war. You're not picking it up on the side of the road then. You're talking about you've got a job where you're going to companies and hauling away their cardboard, right?
Pretty much. I mean, you can pretty much pick it up from the side of the road, but you got to make it where you got to get enough, because back in the days when I was a kid and my dad used to do it, you used to get about $80 a ton. Now it's down to like $55, $50. So you got to...
Okay. All right, man. You come from a long line of cardboard pickers, then. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Let's try Allison in Santa Monica. Let's talk about medical research. Now, this sounds fascinating.
Hi, Kevin and Dean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Allison. What are you doing?
So I've done it twice before. You can do it either for companies or for, I guess they have medical research, where they take you for either surveys or, I know, they have blood samples, like everything, MRIs, and you get paid a certain amount for doing it.
And give me an example of a procedure that you've done and how much you got paid for it.
One time when I was younger, they had me just go on some sort of computer. They had, like, I don't know, diagnostic testing to look for disabilities in children. And I got paid $250 for being there for an hour.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
wow.
pretty good.
And have you ever, I've heard about some people who get on these drug trials and they'll test, you know, a drug for arthritis or something like that, and they'll get paid to do it. Have you ever done anything like that?
I haven't heard of it. I mean, I'm going to look more into it now because I forgot about it until I listened to this.
Now you're going to look again.
And did you have a bad memory before you started doing all this medical testing?
What?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
We can't recommend it.
That's the problem there, right? Let's try Danner in Culver City on line 5. Hey, Danner, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you have that maybe we haven't thought of as a way to make some extra cash these days?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Danner.
Well, let me tell you,
community college is a respectable thing. I went there. I respect people who go there. But it is full of people who just don't want to be there and for some reason signed up and they're paying money for classes. So mm-hmm. I go to USC. I'm a pretty good student. I guess decently intelligent guy. And I went to Santa Monica College because I live in Culver City, which is right near there. And,
right.
I went there to see if they were hiring, like, tutors for their students to, like, work at the tutor lab or whatever. Okay. And they aren't. And as I was walking by, I saw some friends of mine that I grew up with on campus. And I said, you know, hey, how you guys doing? Oh, yeah, I came here to see if there are any tutoring jobs. And they're like, oh, damn, can you do my homework? And I was like, yeah, for money. And I started doing their assignments, and then they told their friends, and I started doing other people's assignments, and then I found out that you just have to show up. I mean, and I do it at West LA Community College, too. Just show
so you're
up.
The, so basically, despite the way you sound on the phone, you're a smart guy, and you're the exactly. dude that they see in the hallway, and they go, hey, if you need your homework done, that's the guy. Just give him your assignment, and he'll turn it back in for you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I just approach kids. I just walk up to them, and I can tell who the slackers are, and I'm just like, hey, you guys, how you doing? $20 an essay. If you got some math problems, I'll do pages. I do $5 a page, whatever.
Do you take their test? Like, if they have a test in class, can you go take their test for them?
You know, what's the best is the immigrants, because they speak almost no English, and they sign up for classes, mm-hmm. and they will pay you a large sum of money to just take their classes for them. I've taken
How
classes
about that?
As like, hi, my name is Jaime Martinez, and I have been in that class for an entire semester. Jaime's an awesome guy. He ended up paying me $500 for showing up to class one day out of a week for 2 hours, and I took his test, and it's just great money. K-Lop listeners, if you are decently intelligent, you have an education, just show up at community colleges and just ask
wow.
them to you okay. do your homework.
There you go. It somehow sounds unethical, but oh well. Thank you very much for the call. All right. We don't have time. Unfortunately, we don't have time for Mandy. I'm glad you called, but we're out of time. $15,000 donating eggs, Lisa, so
oh,
far.
Oh, I
How
know.
How about that?
It's just
big
it's
cash.
A big deal to do it.
Mike
That's
in
all.
Orange giving skateboard lessons. That's a great idea. If you've got a skill, something you can teach the young people, maybe you can make some cash. But let's just squeeze in Jimmy real quick in Calabasas. He's on line 4 on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you? I have a job for you. I'm a trampoline boy in Calabasas.
Whoa.
What does that
whoa,
mean?
Whoa, whoa.
What do you mean?
I jump on a trampoline for about an hour, and it's like one of these moms out here, they'll pay me to jump on their trampoline.
Are you serious? Come
okay.
on.
I just want to say to you, Jimmy,
in a Speedo.
I just want to tell you, the only reason I went to Jimmy's call is I 100% was expecting Santa Monica. I thought, this is Santa Monica, because when I saw what was up on the screen, I thought, there's no way Jimmy's a real guy and that he's telling the truth. Somebody pays you so that you will jump up and down on a trampoline in a Speedo, and they pay you so they can watch you.
Yeah.
Isn't America the greatest country on earth?
Yeah.
Come on. Today for 0.9% APR on most 5 Series, 6 Series, and 328. Center BMW on Van Nuys and Sherman Oaks, or centerbmw.com.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Wow, good to hear from Dean Shefford again. How about that?
I am out of here, cha-cha.
7:53, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Little Dennis Miller there, talking about BMW, cha-cha.
Oh, this is the best story. I love Stephen Colbert so much.
He's the best, yeah.
He really is. You know, NASA was opening up a contest to name a room at the new International Space Station.
Okay.
They gave 4 suggested options, put it up on their website, and asked for NASAphiles.
Okay.
Space enthusiasts to vote.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, they left open a write-in category.
Uh-oh.
So if Stephen Colbert goes on his show and urges his viewers to vote for him, they complied. And with over 230,000 votes, Stephen Colbert has won, and his name will be in a room in the NASA space station.
Yeah.
Yay! That's great.
The second vote-getter was Serenity, was one of the NASA suggested names for the room. Stephen bested that by 40,000 votes.
So wow.
You'll be going into the Colbert room.
I'm a little bit clever. Surprised that they just didn't fix the voting and go, well, nice try, Stephen Colbert, but Serenity beat you.
Well, we'll have to wait and see because an agency spokesman said NASA does reserve the right to choose an appropriate name.
Sure.
But he said that the top vote getter will get the most consideration and they are seriously considering it. It doesn't seem to be offensive to anyone, so it may actually happen. But
that's funny.
It's not a done deal yet, but we'll have to wait and see. Now we know why Jennifer Aniston dumped her boyfriend, John Mayer.
Okay.
And this may be an interesting conversation to have with some of our listeners. Apparently, she got fed up with his obsession with Twitter. She couldn't stand him posting updates on his life and their life 24 hours a day.
You know, I could understand that.
There are a few celebrities. He comes to mind. He's one of them. Ashton Kutcher is one of them. Diddy is one of them, where they just seem to be just hooked on it.
Yeah.
Jen was fuming, says a source close to Jennifer Aniston. There he was telling her he didn't have time for her, and yet his page was filled with updates. Every few hours, sometimes minutes, he'd update with some stupid line. She was like, he has time for all this Twittering, but he can't send me a text or an email or make a call. That's when she said things were over. She was furious.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a big celebrity like John Mayer, doesn't Twittering kind of fall under the category of work?
No.
I mean, he's essentially...
He wasn't saying, go get my new album. He didn't say, oh, I'm just working on it. Have you ever read his Twitters?
No, I haven't. But any way he can keep in touch with fans and try to seem more appealing...
But it seems like you could have a balance.
But to what price?
Sure.
Over Jennifer Aniston in your bed?
I mean, you can text, and then you can be Dave. It's completely different.
Exactly.
But I think some relationships have ended over people's obsession with technology, be it texting or emailing or sitting at the computer for all hours or video games or whatever you got going on. I bet it has ruined a lot of relationships.
Yeah. Sure.
And Twitter being the latest and greatest, probably more recently. But I'm sure it's been going on for a long time.
I just, I think I got to the point where I don't need to be in contact anymore. And this is me speaking. This is a guy who loves the internet, but I just don't have any interest in Twittering or Facebooking or any of that.
I'm with you. I also feel that enough is enough. We've gotten to the point now where all information gets to all of us almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
You don't need to be updated any more than we are.
Yeah. I agree. Yes.
Because all these entertainment news shows now will do the Twitter thing.
Right.
Where they'll let you know when they're on the red carpet who's walking by as they're standing there on the red carpet. I can wait. I can wait till I see it on television. I don't really need to know from Samantha Harris from Dancing with the Stars what happened backstage with Steve-O's knee. I can read it tomorrow. I'm okay.
Exactly.
It's so distracting at some point that you realize you don't really think about bigger issues in life anymore. It's just all, what's happening now? What's happening now? What's happening now?
Yeah.
And, with my friends, with entertainment.
And even John Mayer, he's not that interesting. I don't need to know what he's doing every five minutes. Nobody has that fascinating a life that you need to know. And if you're a John Mayer fan and you do need to know what he's doing every 5 minutes, kill yourself. Because you're empty inside. You got nothing going on. You're waiting for John Mayer to fill you up.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, much like Jennifer was.
So sell the cats, ladies. Just turn on the gas.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Well, that's how I feel, cha-cha. Go buy a BMW. Van Nuys. Okay?
American
Century,
Idol.
Century.
What did I say?
Century BMW.
Century? I thought I heard Van Nuys in there, too.
Maybe. Yeah, it was Center
BMW. Can't we buy one there? Oh, Center.
Yeah.
Please
Center.
Don't bring up American Idol today because I'm in a very bad mood about
Why?
This.
Why?
Because
Barack Obama.
Oh, that's right. It's going to Wednesday.
Today's
a Motown
preempted.
Night.
Yeah. Stupid chocolate Jesus decides he's got to be on the TV during prime time instead of in the afternoon when he should be doing it and leave the primetime TV to us.
Well, some stuff's
ridiculous going
on in the country,
a
being we
things.
Might want to take a look
it's
at.
It's absurd that, look, at this point, who doesn't have cable? Put it on CNN, put it on Fox, put it on PBS. That way people who don't even have cable can watch
he's
the speech if they
reach
want
everyone.
To.
He's trying to
get people to pressure their congressmen, and if you only get the people that will turn to him on cable.
Sometimes you can't give people what they want, Bean. You have to give them what they need.
And by the
like
way,
the
who doesn't have cable? A bunch of people, a ton of people.
And that's why I added PBS, because you can watch it over the air on PBS without cable. But let's face it, the networks are having enough trouble making money. Why screw NBC, ABC, NBC, you know, CBS and Fox out of the advertising dollars they'd get between 8 and 9 tonight so that the president can put on his stupid press conference?
So you're just worried about the TV stations?
He's just worried about the networks.
No, I'm saying additionally.
Poor people.
I'm saying that's just yet another reason
reason why it's ridiculous that it's on 20 channels at once when people can go watch it somewhere if they want to and if the rest of us can watch American Idol like we want to.
You are such a baby.
You think Americans aren't disconnected enough from what really matters in this country, what's really happening, that we have to make sure they can stay as even more disconnected and watch their American Idol while we circle the drain?
Excuse me, I'm talking about what's important. I'm really interested in whether Lil Rounds wins this thing than I am with what's going on with the stupid stimulus package.
Well, you'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, you can wait a day for Lil Rounds and her giant, enormous ass.
She does have a Kardashian
massive
ass.
Massive. Oh, she dwarfs the Kardashians.
She does. It's crazy what's
she
going
has
on
like
back
a,
there.
Like an Ernest Borgnine ass.
Baby got mega back.
Yep.
Ernest Borgnine's ass, by the way.
Play Coachella. So it's Motown week? Is that what's going on?
Motown!
I'm not pleased with that choice.
Mo money, Motown!
Okay, so you need it now, and yet you're not pleased with that
I
choice.
I need it now, yet I hate it. That's what I'm all about.
You're making me crazy.
Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. Ralph, recently my friends and I started a weekly poker game. We're all in our early 20s, so we drink a good bit. And of course, when drinking and gambling involved, the conversation usually turns to sex. Many of the guys would talk about how they orally please their girlfriends, and I said that I refused. My girlfriend heard about this conversation one night from one of the girlfriends of my poker buddies and asked me why I wasn't performing the services that my friends were. Well, eventually I just had to break down and say, look at yourself. It goes from pube thicket to hairy thighs.
I've got pube thicket to hairy thighs.
See, she was hairy down there.
She had pube thicket and hairy thighs. Went from pube thicket to hairy thighs.
That's what it was. It's current. It's young. It's fresh. It's hot.
Well, all right.
See, that's why you didn't do that. It's a pube thicket.
What's pube thicket?
It's a pube thicket.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
You've never seen a thicket like a really dense shrubbery or bush? It's called a thicket. It's got thorns on it and everything. She had a pube thicket and went from pube thicket to hairy thighs.
I think all right.
It's a bad region down there.
Do you really need this explained to you? Really?
I kind of like that one.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Peyton Manning from the Colts is 33 years old today. Actress Allison Hannigan, one of our favorites from Buffy and How I Met Your Mother. She's 35. I think she's going to have her baby soon.
Yes. Yeah. If not already.
Lara Flynn Boyle is 39 years old today. TV personality Star Jones is 47. Can we stop calling her a TV personality since she doesn't seem to be on TV anywhere? Former TV personality, former fat broad, Star Jones is 47. And Kelly LeBrock!
Yeah!
Who the one time was the stuff of male fantasy everywhere when she starred in Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And doesn't look bad now. She was on Celebrity Fat Club.
Yeah, she's got a little beefy, but she's a very pretty woman.
Yeah, still looking good.
49 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Get ready to feel a little dumber, ladies and gentlemen, as the smartest man in the world, Dr. Drew Pinsky, joins us here this morning. Hey, Doc, how are you?
What's up, B?
Yeah, Drew's bad on a lot of levels, not just because he makes you feel dumber than you need
and
to.
Ugly. And
makes
you ugly.
And less in shape. But right. Sometimes, especially with these books that he writes and crap like that, is that he makes you look at yourself and look at your own shortcomings and stuff. And that's just, nobody needs that either, by the way.
Yeah, so make you look at your own, as it were, ass.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not comfortable for me at all.
Well, what Ralph's talking about is he took the test in the back of my new book called The Mirror Effect. It's a narcissistic personality inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ralph was taking the test, he got angrier and angrier with me.
Furious. Really? I got furious. We'll talk about the test in a minute.
All right.
Let's talk about before we hear about the test, I want to hear about the premise of the book. Because I remember when you told us like a year ago, we said, hey, what are you up to, Dr. Drew, in the 15 minutes a day that you have to yourself? And you said, well, Kevin B, I'm writing a new book about how celebrities are narcissists. And we're like, well, no, duh. Like, tell us something we don't know. Why did that need to be a book,
and
doctor?
Tell me what narcissist really means.
Right. Thanks, Lisa May. That's the right question. And that's the not-no-duh part. In spite of there being massive industries built around speculating about celebrities and why they can't find love and why they do what they do,
right.
There had never been a single scientific study done on celebrity ever in the history of science. So my neighbor, turned out this guy's my neighbor, he's a business school professor at the Marshall School of Business at SC, Dr. Mark Young.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sociologist, statistician. He goes, you know, we had to do a study about this. And so every night for over 2 years on Loveline, we would give these personality inventories to all the Loveline guests, all the celebrities on the show.
Huh.
Which, if you remember, if you listen to Loveline, drove Corolla to distraction.
it almost
came to blows. So we got this done. We published the paper, and we were able to show that celebrities indeed are significantly more narcissistic than the average population. There had been a...
Did you do another test with just average folks? And have them
yes,
take
we did.
The
we had actually several different study...
So there were study groups.
Yes.
Okay.
God, it's early in the morning for me to be thinking I've been on a book tour. But so we did the, yes, we had USC Business School students and we had sort of the national averages and things like that as sort of our baseline. We also asked a very simple question. There'd been this sort of prevailing wisdom that celebrity status rendered people more narcissistic. It's called acquired situational narcissism.
Mm, that makes sense.
It's what people
think. I mean, we've heard of that. It's like you start to believe your own press.
But think about it, guys. You've met billions of celebrities here.
Yes.
Their pathology would be there. It's just more acted out by their celebrity status. It gives them an opportunity to display it and to act it out. No boundaries to it.
Yeah, and having been on the fringes of the entertainment business most of my life, either as a as an actor or in the radio or whatever, you meet a ton of people who aren't successes, who aren't stars, who exhibit the same exact behavior.
That's right.
Even though they don't nearly have the profile or the status that you think would rationalize.
That's right.
That.
We asked a simple question. How long have you been a celebrity? And we were able to document that there was no relationship between the amount of time as celebrity and the degree of narcissism. In fact, the most narcissistic were the most recent arrivals to the scene, the reality show contestants, particularly female reality show contestants. They were off the chart.
That's interesting.
I'm just saying. And so to get to Lisa May's question, what is narcissism? It's not egotism. It's not self-preoccupation necessarily. It's really a personality style built on early childhood trauma with chronic feelings of shame, emptiness, difficulty tolerating the shame, a difficulty appreciating that other people have feelings, so they lose empathy and they're prone to envy. So it's really sort of a liability. It's not all bad. I mean, there's things about narcissism that we can talk about later, Ralph, that are good.
But how does that display itself in behavior?
Well, it could be emotional dysregulation. So a lot of drug and alcohol use, try to regulate emotions, a lot of interpersonal chaos, tend towards exploitativeness. They tend to use other people. It's unpleasant to be around because they don't appreciate that you have feelings.
Okay.
But it's different from an ego, which is essential not only for a performer, but it's essential for every person needs to have a certain amount of ego in order to have the confidence to get out of bed and go out and do a job in the world, right?
That's right. But on the other hand, if Yo-Yo Ma feels good about his ability to play a cello, that's appropriate. He should feel that way. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if he feels superior to other people and he doesn't really care what other people are feeling, that's more narcissistic.
Okay. Now, are we as a society, it seems to me, I think I know the answer to this, but it seems like we're doing nothing but feeding that narcissism with the constant 24-hour attention that we pay to the celebrities,
yes,
right?
Yes. We co-opt a term called the celebrity industrial complex. What's happened is media is colluding with celebrities because it's cheap to report on celebrity news and people watch it more.
Right.
So hard news is going down, celebrity news is going up. And the other thing I explore in great deal, this was the most interesting part of the book for me, was why do we do this? You know, what's up? Why is that fun to us? Why are we interested in it? Why these people? And the reality is being that we've all sort of turned kind of narcissistic. There's been a narcissistic shift in our personality constructs. And so in my opinion, primarily what we're doing is acting out envy. And I got to tell you, I sort of equate it with pre-revolutionary France and other periods of history. And still, I was surprised when last week we were hearing people calling for the death for AIG executives. You know, people should kill themselves.
Right.
I mean, that's how...
the beginning of the revolution.
That's how that got
and
going.
And that was a U.S. senator who said that, by the way.
Yeah, a U.S. senator. And nobody pushes back. Nobody goes, I beg your pardon. and we all just go, yeah, I think they should fall on the sword.
Off of their heads.
Yeah. We're sitting here laughing.
Yeah.
U.S. senators, ladies and gentlemen, calling
yes,
for that
true.
Kind of stuff.
Okay,
and that's
so,
what this all shows, that we have all moved in that direction.
There are some celebrities who should be killed, though, right?
Like who?
Nadia Suleiman. How the hell does she become on my TV every night? Why does Dr. Phil have her on every episode?
So the reason
she's co-hosting essentially now.
The reason I posed that the way I did is that now we can see how that's reflected back in Ralph's narcissism. He's calling for the death of certain people. Let's see where he measures on the scale now.
But Dr. Drew, and I know that you address this in the book, but in a few words, maybe you could tell us why, in further detail, why does Access Hollywood do a Britney Spears story every night, and why do I watch it? What's happening there? Why do I care what Britney Spears did last night?
I can't help but see things through the prism of this test when being asked the question. Why does he care?
Yeah. What about me?
How does it affect me?
Why do I watch this? I think the simplest way to answer that is it's a complex behavioral sociological phenomenon, no doubt about it. But there's a couple layers to it. One is, because we are slightly narcissistic as a population, like to elevate people to deity status and bask in their glow. So we like to, as a collectively, put them up there and go, that's mine. I put them up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that makes me feel good because I've got this thing.
I was part of that.
I'm basking the glow of that. However, when I realize, hey, wait a minute, I can never attain that, or she's kind of screwing up, or she has more than I do. Rather than becoming jealous, which is, you know, I better work harder to get something so I feel better about myself, I become envious and I have to knock her down. And that also is sort of a collective experience. In the book, I hearken it back to, believe it or not, to human sacrifice. I mean, that binds us together. We all feel good together, makes us feel better about ourselves, and it's, quote, fun. But it is a very destructive emotion that's behind it.
Is it kind of like how people used to get, and they do in some countries around the world still, get together in the public square and watch a guy get hanged? Because they, it sounds like exactly what you're talking about, is it's a group emotion.
Great thing about Asperger's is you can cut right through stuff and see things more clearly than people can.
I don't have the Asperger's doctor.
It's awesome. He's very helpful
it's
that way.
It's awesome. Being that's exactly what I'm writing about. That's precisely the case. And what I equate that to, although it's...
But this isn't hanging. This isn't hanging in public square. This is more like stoning. This is more like the lottery, that short story where they would pick one person out of the village and everyone would pick up a brick and throw it at them until that person was dead.
Remember the South Park about Britney Spears? They'd sort of throw them the corner.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly the phenomenon we're talking. We were shocked to see that come on right as we were finishing up this book. We actually include it in the book a little bit, being that's exactly what I think this is. And I think I equate it in my own thinking. The more narcissistic the society, the more childhood trauma, the more prone they are to that kind of behavior.
The book is called The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America. It is in stores now. It came out on St. Patrick's Day. Tonight's Dr. Drew event is sold out at the Skirball Center, but you still have a chance to meet him and get yours signed Thursday, the 26th of March, which is, Thursday?
Yeah.
There's Thursday at Vroman's, your hometown bookstore in Pasadena at 7 o'clock, and then on Monday at the Borders in Hollywood. We're going to take a break and come back and talk more about this with our guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky, right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Right now, Dr. Drew Pinsky is in the studio of the World Famous K-Rock. His new book is in stores now called The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America. Hey, Doc, right before you came on, Ralph was doing a story about how, I don't know if it's a tabloid report or what, that Jennifer Aniston may have had an assful of John Mayer because he was Twittering all the time.
He sure does Twitter a lot.
Is people's obsession with things like Twitter and Facebook, which kind of makes them the star, does that kind of play into a little bit about what you're talking about this new narcissism in America?
Oh, absolutely. The internet is like a portal that crying out to people to act out their narcissism. And there's really, it is. And there's this whole sort of internet world of people that seem to be craving fame. I don't blame like the John Mayer. I think Mike Psycho Michael was saying, you know, it's just a way of communicating with his fans and maintaining his brand and stuff.
Man,
I think
blah, blah, blah.
No, but I think there's, you know, he doesn't need this, but there are people out there that need it.
If it's costing you your relationship with Jennifer Aniston, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You talk about the people who want to be famous. I mean, we've really seen that a lot coming up in the last few years. I mean, nowhere is it better demonstrated than on American Idol, where you get the impression that a lot of these kids show up not because they want to be singers, not because they have a passion for music, but just because they see it as a rocket ride to being a famous person. Must run into that all the time.
Absolutely correct. And fame as an autonomous motivator is appearing for the first time internationally on kids when you study them and ask, you know, what do you expect from life? People used to say, I want financial success, I want a family, I want a career. Now they say fame, period. And it's a common response. And that's the narcissism. And then now we've got this system in place, reality TV and this portal, this magic thing that sits on your desk, the computer. These things are all sort of crying out to, why not throw your hat in the ring? Hey, and by the way, you know, think about reality TV show contestants who we measured as being the most narcissistic. It's like, why else are they in media except, hey, it's me, which is horrible, right? I mean, I'm not a great violinist. I want to contribute.
Well, I'm
just
going
to
say, this is the first generation, I think, where fame was bestowed on people for no other reason other than they were in the public eye.
Correct.
You used to have to do something to achieve attention from the
that's
public.
That's what the book is about.
And now all you need is a webcam on your computer and you can be the Chocolate Rain guy, and the next thing you know, you're on Letterman as a
guest.
Right.
That's right.
Because
so
you
why
just
not,
sat in your living room and sang a little song.
Why not me? Why shouldn't I participate? And
that's where the entitlement comes along. Right?
Absolutely. And it's really not a good thing for us.
One of the things about the book is that you have a test at the end of the book.
That's the test. It's the one we gave the celebrities. It's the Narcissistic Personality Inventory.
The NPI, and it's 40 questions, and it measures 7 different traits that show up in narcissistic people, right?
Yep.
And when you take this test, you have to really look inside. I just took the test, and you have to kind of look inside yourself and answer these questions honestly, and it's very disturbing sometimes how those answers
come. Don't get mad at me. I didn't invent the test. It's
been
a
time-wise test. Some of the questions are BS. That's just a fact.
Like what? What's BS?
It's called it's a forced answer. You have to pick between two when often you feel neither or both are appropriate,
right?
And yet what you pick has tremendous meaning.
Question number 9. I am no better or worse than most people, A or B. I think I'm a special person. I'm no better or worse than most people. Most people are idiots. And that's not my fault. I'm not a bad guy for picking A because other people are horrible. Because I'm not as bad as them, I'm forced to pick that I am better or no worse than some people.
Does he get a point for that?
I don't remember how that measured. I think A was the narcissistic answer.
A is the narcissistic answer. But how am I a bad guy because they're all horrible?
And do you think you're special, Ralph?
Yes!
Well, he is, be fair.
I am special.
But that's one of the...
Mom always told me I was special.
One of the points about narcissism is it's not a bad thing. It's not you win the test, you failed the test. It's not as though some people being more narcissistic are bad people. These are just features that humans have that carry certain liabilities with them. Also certain assets. Narcissism creates a creative energy. It also creates ambition. Things that are good.
But isn't there a level, like a score beyond which you go, okay,
yes.
This is
there a pass fail in this?
There's a level at which you go, you might want to look into that.
Like, and what's the number?
Hang on. I want to know what Ralph's number is first. The main liabilities are things like envy and lack of empathy. I see those as the two big liabilities, and exploitativeness.
My total amount is 21. That's what I scored
at. So that's not so bad.
It's
above average, but in terms of radio people tend to populate the 20s.
And
get up into the 30s. We did Robin Quivers, you know, Howard Stern's.
Yes. Right.
She was like a 34 or 36 or something. And lo and behold, the people that score up there, horrible childhood sexual abuse, physical abuse, abandonment, stuff that creates narcissism.
Okay, yeah, there's good reasons for it, but still.
I scored the same as Chelsea Handler from E.
Which is
disturbing because Chelsea. She's wrong about everything in show business and comedy.
Chelsea, how dare you?
She's horrible.
How dare
that
you?
That show blows.
I'm doing it on Thursday.
You shouldn't. You should back out now. Save yourself.
Okay.
It's bad.
So what construct, what subset?
Oh, yeah. These also, they can measure seven different component traits of narcissism by which answers you matched up with, by which answers you answered in a certain way.
So we'll see whether there's real liability hidden in that score.
The good news is I'm not an exhibitionist at all.
Okay.
We'll get Psycho Michael's score in a few minutes.
I didn't match up with those questions at all. I don't have a strong sense of entitlement, which I was happy to see. I don't feel like the world owes me anything.
Very unpleasant to be around entitled people.
I hate those
people,
yeah. I do get stronger with self-sufficiency, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I do really well with exploitiveness.
Ooh, that's not so good.
No, that's not so good.
What does that mean? You exploit other people for your...
Manipulate other people for my own gains.
Okay. Yeah, you don't appreciate other people have feelings. You don't appreciate them very well.
I'm very in sync with the component authority.
Authority, you've got a lot of authority.
A lot of
makes
authority.
Sense.
Yeah,
right.
You yell at us in the
a lot
office
of leadership
all the time.
Quality.
People are actually
yes,
afraid of him.
See,
in this
you have to keep the troops in line. A good general does that.
Authority, yes.
And I just knock out of the ballpark superiority. That's the one I just own. I own superiority.
What are you saying about Chelsea Handler?
I am not surprised.
And other people are horrible. It's not that I'm good. It's just other people are bad. That's all I'm saying.
Dr. Drew, you...
Oh, BS!
What is this, Mike?
What? Well, no way.
We're going to talk about that
in
the next break. We're going to talk about that in the next break.
Nobody's ever scored that low.
Mike.
You gave that to one of the interns.
That's not possible.
She checked it.
You must have looked at the answers before you filled it out. That's hilarious.
We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break and come back and hear about Psycho Mike. Let me ask you one more question before the break, Dr. Drew, because the basis of the research, I know there's an awful lot that went into this book, but the basis is the 200 celebrities that you gave this quiz that Ralph was just describing.
That is true.
Did you ever get any kind of bad reaction from the celebrities as they took the quiz and then you told them what their answers meant? Did you ever get any back talk from them?
We actually did not. And interestingly, every single person, virtually every person we handed the test to went, oh, yeah, I know where I'm off the scale. I know that. And I'm interested. I want to know. I know there's something about me that's not necessarily healthy. Mm-hmm. I know it has something to do with my celebrityness or need to be a celebrityness. This is going to be interesting. Please tell me when you publish this.
Oh,
almost every person.
It's cool that they have at least curiosity about it.
Yeah. All right. We'll find out how Psycho Mike did and wrap up our remaining moments with Dr. Drew Pinsky, only the smartest man in the world. By the way, of course, the co-host of Loveline here, five nights a week on the world famous Carrick 2. Yes.
By the way, Loveline. Don't forget Loveline.
Love
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm giving you a hit for Loveline. The book is in stores now called The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America. More after this on K-Rock.
You had the late Bradney Knoll along with Sublime a couple of times on the old Loveline show, didn't you, Dr. Drew?
Sure did. Over the years, absolutely. They were great.
Nice job helping him out. Good work there.
Yeah. Try.
Maybe could have stepped in there and lent a hand.
Yeah, maybe speak up a little bit. Maybe write a few fewer books, do a few less TV shows, maybe save some lives.
A little more doctrine, a little less TV. That's all I'm saying.
Glad I showed up this morning. Thanks, Emma.
The book is called The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America. Our guest is Dr. Drew Pinsky. By the way, you can meet the doctor if you want to get your autograph copy of the book. And have you done any of these yet, Doctor? Have you already done some?
Yeah, I've been in New York all week, and people very kindly showed up. It was very fun. And we're at the Skirball tonight, and then Romans and Pasadena on Monday, and then the Borders in Hollywood. Excuse me, Romans on Thursday, and the Borders in Hollywood on Monday.
That's right. Now, before we get to Psycho Mike's quiz, which he just took in the commercial break there, and people are going crazy over his score. Before we analyze that, I have to ask, and people should go out and buy the book because it sounds like there's a lot of good information, especially for parents. What do you do if you have a kid who's now, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old these days, yep, and is living in this world of YouTube fame overnight? How do you stop the tide of them wanting to be famous as a career rather than actually learn how to do something or contribute something to the world?
That's a great question. I mean, we actually spend a good deal of the book addressing exactly that. And I would say, you know, the first and foremost thing is to become good media consumers as ourselves. And it's very as simple as just taking a beat and reviewing this material with your kids. When you see the crazy celebrity behaviors, stop and discuss it with your kids. I think it's very much like the kind of sexual content that's in media too. It's not bad in and of itself unless it goes through undigested by the kids and just mm-hmm. becomes sort of socially normative, as opposed to as a parent going, hey, what do you think of that? And is that okay? And gee, I don't agree with that. And really talking about what the human reality of the consequences of all this is. Then these are learning moments. Also, get back to basics. We really give some real specific suggestions about maintaining close relationships, being of service, having some sort of spiritual life. These kinds of things go a long way towards diminishing narcissism.
Yeah, I think sometimes the superficiality that seems to be so pervasive in America these days is just filling a void that's left by a lack of substance.
Yep, filling a void. Filling a void is the issue.
See, because there's not enough substance going on. If, something of real importance in people's lives, they just kind of fill it up with all this crap that's been floating around.
Right, and the first source of that emptiness is our destroyed families. And so it really is about paying attention to the kids to help them so they develop in such a way they don't end up entering young adulthood with a feeling of emptiness.
Yeah. Right. All right. This narcissism quiz that's the central focus of the book. Is it not a quiz? Survey?
It's a test, man. It's a serious scholastic achievement. It's
an inventory. How dare you?
It's an inventory. It's not a quiz.
You have given it to hundreds of celebrities throughout the year. You write about it in the book. Ralph was describing his score.
21.
And he broke it down for us. All right.
21. Same as Chelsea Handler.
Psycho Mike, who's got really more troubles than even Dr. Drew with all of his degrees could handle, he took the quiz too. How did it come out for Mike?
Let me give you some perspective first. They've got a list of celebrity scores here with the test, which is pretty interesting. As Drew mentioned, Robin Quivers, 34. That's high up there.
Yeah.
Pauly Shore and Adam Carolla, both 28. Also pretty high up there.
Pauly Shore.
Adrian Curry, a reality TV star, a female reality TV star. And you said female score usually higher than men do on this. Just 19. Mm-hmm. So she seems reasonably well-adjusted.
Right, relative to yours, of course.
Relative to mine.
Higher than average, but relative to yours.
Bob Forrest, who's your buddy over there at Celebrity Rehab, right? 19 as well. Mm-hmm. Ron Jeremy and Drew Pinsky are tied with 16.
Something I'm proud of.
Similar careers.
Well, they got a lot going on.
Same guy.
I don't think that's fair. You designed the test.
No, I didn't. This is a time-honored inventory.
This is
a standardized test. Been around for 35 years.
As I said, Drew and Jeremy. Ron Jeremy, the same with 16. Howard Stern, who you think would just spike on this thing.
Yeah.
15.
Right.
Well, he strikes me as a deeply insecure person.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
but he's also someone who has worked very hard to get where he is.
Absolutely.
That's the difference between those people and reality stars. I was thinking of this kid on American Idol who tried out and was rejected. And you guys will remember this. He was crying, Mom, I want to be a star. And she goes, you will be. And he said, I want to be a star right now. And his mom's like, don't worry, honey. It's going to be okay. It was so disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting. Well, Howard also, in terms of work, has also had tons and tons of treatment.
Lots
of treatment. Helps too. Decades of treatment.
Yeah. Dira Baird, model and actress, 11. Frankie Muniz, Malcolm in the Middle actor, 10. That seems pretty low.
He's
like a kid who just is just salt of the earth. Just does no sense of entitlement.
He could leave showbiz and go drive cars.
That's right. Doesn't need the attention. Right. Doesn't need to be.
He got
out
into
there.
It by accident. It was fun. He got out. That was fine. Now let me go find my life.
So 10 seems low to me.
Yes.
Until we got Psycho Mike's test score.
Come on.
He filled
this
out, and we had Chip, our intern, score it, so he couldn't cheat by looking at the score key. 2. He scored a 2.
Not possible.
No, but 40. He's the guy two. Who can't shower and look at his naked body in the mirror.
Well, however, the 2 he did answer.
Yes.
Are in line with the component of exhibitionism.
That's interesting.
There is certainly a factor of exhibitionism about me. If you guys dare me to do something,
yes.
I'll do it.
Yes.
And it could be, you know, even something that I might be embarrassed to do, or it might even hurt me physically or emotionally. But if I think you guys will laugh at it and it'll be funny for the air, I'll do it. And that's exhibitionism.
You know,
There's a difference between that and vanity, right?
Yeah. I have 2 reactions to that low score. One is, and the same reaction I had to Howard Stern's score, was I expected it to be higher or low. I thought, oh my God, treatment works. Mm. So, treatment works.
Right.
Yeah. And people, a lot of treatment for Mike. He's been through the AA and NA and those programs.
Right,
which
is very much focused on these kinds of issues.
If you look at a guy like Howard, who's going to be 60 years old, he's been receiving treatment for a long time. I'm 30. I've been receiving treatment for almost 15 years. Yeah. So, I mean, if you put that in perspective.
Treatment works. Oh, my God. I get chills when I see that kind of stuff, number one. But number two, in my experience, and I don't know if this is necessarily true, but my sense has been that people who score very, very low on the narcissism tend to be more towards dependency. Do you get kind of dependent on other people?
Sure.
Yeah. Sort of more in the dependency spectrum.
So just because his score is low doesn't mean he's not unbelievably honked up. I mean, the guy still has problems.
I'm still better than he is, even though I've got a higher score. Is what
Mike's
I'm saying.
Said his superiority
That's
side.
Right.
Mike's on the radio, okay?
He's part of the radio staff of this show.
Some level of pathology.
There's something about us
need I say more.
That makes us need to be here, of course.
I mean, radio is populated by very healthy people. We all know that. So.
All right. This is, I wish we never have enough time when Dr. Drew comes in.
No,
because
we don't.
It really is fascinating stuff, because it's fascinating not just how it relates to the celebrities, but how it relates to everyday people like us.
Right.
And
that's exactly right. It is sort of, it's a prism through which to look at the phenomenon of our time. And again, I would caution people and ask them just look at, reflect on what's going on in the political domain right now, where people are advocating that people should go kill themselves.
But he wasn't
because
serious,
they made bad
Dr.
business decisions. The fact that he could say it with great sort of intensity, and nobody speaks up and goes, I beg your pardon.
Well, he did apologize, right?
He apologized, but there really wasn't the kind of outrage there should have been U.S. senator is asking
people
for.
People were with him.
Let's go get him. There's a mob mentality, and narcissism creates that envy that fuels mob mentality.
Exactly.
It's bad.
I'm getting a posse together and some sticks and fire to go into.
Yeah. Get some torches.
The book is in stores now, and it's available everywhere, and of course on the Amazon and all over the internet, too. The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America, and the co-author of the book in our studio is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Who do you have on the love line tonight at 10 here on K-Rock?
No, Carson Daly, I think, is going to make a little brief appearance.
Oh, really?
And
fantastic.
The other guest, I keep blanking his name, the drummer.
Freeze.
Josh Freeze.
Josh Freeze. Coming to
He's great. You'll have a great time.
Yeah, by the way, just as a brief aside, thank you to all the K-Rock listeners, and thank you all for your support of Loveline. But do keep listening. It's a great show, and we're always there doing our stuff. And it's just so after all these years, I still love hearing from the listeners. And that's my pathology, that I'm still interested in these calls every night after all these years.
Good times.
Cool.
Doc, thanks for coming in, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Rob is here with our last look at the Showbiz Beat.
Lauren Conrad may want to rethink her decision of leaving reality television, because her 15 minutes may be up. She has a beauty, a clothing line, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's being put on hold amid rumors of poor sales. But her representative saying, no, her sales are great. But it's just the economic climate is so difficult right now. We're going to table her fashion line.
I'm sure that's what happened to Heidi's line of clothes as well.
Yeah. Just because we want to watch you make an ass of yourself doesn't mean you want to buy your clothes, ladies. Keep that in mind.
Hey, when you guys had Mark Burnett in last week, I was on vacation, I missed it. You talked to him about his Audrina TV show that he's got scheduled?
That wasn't announced until the day after he had been on our show. So we missed that opportunity with that. It's going to be about her life, man. Her life and her struggles.
Unless it's topless, I'm not interested.
I wish we had Dr. Drew stick around, because here's an interesting list that comes from the UK. Music fans were asked to list the top 10 most controversial performers of all time. And by controversial, I mean honked up. These are people with, drugs, sex, rock and roll, all the big addictions that make a star. Interesting list. Number 10 was Madonna. I guess she certainly was controversial over the length of her career.
Yeah, she's gone out of her way to court controversy over the years.
Continues to be with her 22-year-old boyfriend, the Brazilian model she's dating. Courtney Love, number 9. Britney Spears was 8. Pete Doherty was number 7. Marilyn Manson came in at number 6. Number 5, Michael Jackson. Number four, Amy Winehouse. Number three, Keith Richards. Number two, Ozzy Osbourne. And number one, Sid Vicious.
Okay.
That sounds like a good band. Put all those guys together.
Everybody together.
Yeah. Yes. Of course, might get hard to get Sid to show up.
Yeah, sure.
He's late a lot these days. And speaking of bands, have you heard about Chickenfoot?
What is Chickenfoot?
Chickenfoot is the new rock supergroup that's being put together by Sammy Hagar, who, of course, was frontman for Van Halen.
Okay.
Bassist Michael Anthony, who, of course, was the former bassist for Van Halen. Joe Satriani, who thinks Coldplay steals songs from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith. They have formed their own group called Chickenfoot.
Except for Sammy Hagar, it sounds like it might be an all right band.
You can check out their new songs if you want on their new website, chickenfoot.us, to hear two brand new songs they've written, Soap on a Rope and Down the Drain. You can check that out if you're interested.
Do they only write songs in the shower? What's going on there?
Sounds like you're Mr. Rogers. I tell you not to be afraid.
Now, so what's the deal? Michael Anthony was asked to not participate in the Van Halen reunion.
That's right.
Wolfgang is playing bass, right?
Right. Wolfie's on bass.
Okay.
Now, Michael
that
got
kind of sucks.
Michael got too fat to hold a bass, I think. That was the problem.
Okay.
He couldn't raise his arms.
He was wearing overalls for the entire duration of their last tour. So.
But I think in Chickenfoot, that probably would look good.
It's cool, right?
Overalls.
Unitard instead.
Chickenfoot. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kelly LeBrock, who came to fame, of course, as the science experiment in Weird Science. She was also the Lady in Red, wasn't she? The woman in red, whatever that movie was?
Mm-hmm. She shows Bush in that movie.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. She's 49 years old today.
Thanks, Mr. Skin. Appreciate the update.
Star Jones, formerly of The View, is 47. Actress Laura Flynn Boyle is 39. Allison Hannigan, How I Met Your Mother, and Buffy is 35. And Colts QB Peyton Manning celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph Garman joining us here. Kevin's on vacation this week. Scriptapalooza. It's that time of year already, Ralph?
I can't believe it's been going on for 11 years now, but this is one of the great opportunities in show business. For some reason, I get a bunch of emails here at the show all the time from people saying, how do I break into show business? I want to become a writer. I would like to write movies. I would like to write... And there's no easy answer. I mean, there's no one way to get into it. But this is an opportunity, Scriptapalooza, that it really doesn't come along very often in the life of a screenwriter who is trying to break into the business and get their stuff read.
Sure. Well, we're going to talk to the founder of Scriptapalooza on the phone right now, Mark Andruschko. He also, of course, fought Sylvester Stallone in Rocky IV, and he was very impressive in that.
Different guy.
I'm pretty sure it's the same name, though. Mark, how's Scriptapalooza going year 11 now?
Hey, Scriptables is going great. Basically, we're a screenplay competition for people around the world that cannot get through that Hollywood door, just like you mentioned.
Now, Ralph mentioned something to me, and I want to find out if this is true, that almost no one accepts unsolicited scripts around town. You can't have a great idea, write up a screenplay, and drive over to the Disney lot and hand it over to them, right?
That actually is absolutely true. Agents, managers, producers, they don't take unsolicited material, so... Writers who are not connected and are not, are not related to Tom Cruise don't have an access, to get the script to the right door.
Yeah, a lot of that's for legal reasons, right? They don't want to open themselves up to any sort of lawsuit. If someone has stolen an idea or something like that, it has to be represented by a legitimate literary agent or something like that, right?
Exactly, yes.
And let's face it, you couldn't even get an appointment. If you're a newbie to the industry, you can't get an appointment with one of the big agencies in town to even meet with you to read your script to get a representation anyway,
not,
right?
Not at all. I mean, it is such a close-knit group. And, fortunately, I think Scriptapalooza opens a lot of doors.
Okay. So what are the details of it? Let's say I'm a guy sitting at home and I've got a script that I've been working on. I think it's pretty good. What do I do with it?
Well, it's really easy. I mean, the first thing, we always tell people to send in their best scripts. A lot of people are like, I want to send in 5 scripts. We don't want that. We want your best one. It's very competitive. I tell everybody over the phone, listen, it's so competitive. We get 4,000 scripts per year. It's tough, It's, we get some incredible scripts that, every year we get scripts made into movies. So you got to send in your best stuff. It's really easy. Go to the website. You read all about us. We have so many success stories. And just check us out on the website.
Now, what's the process once you get the scripts, Mark? Do you have a panel of judges that reads through everything and decides what the best is?
Yes. All the reading is done by over 90 production companies. And they're all listed on our website, the person's name and their title. So, I know other competitions use, readers or regular people. That's completely pointless.
Mm-hmm.
We go straight to producers and say, hey,
You guys do all the reading, and then you tell us what should move forward, or if you want to buy something, option something, or move on it, it happens instantly.
Now, have you had people who have gotten their break in Hollywood by going through Scriptapalooza who now have a career as a writer?
We've had a lot. We just had two movies made last year and through Lifetime Network.
Oh, no kidding. So movies that were made that were aired on television that were that came out of scripts aired. Wow, that's amazing.
One of them was called Queen Size, and the other one's called The Family Holiday.
And these were Queen Size sounds like it must be about fat chicks, though, right?
Rosie O'Donnell was in it.
Rosie O'Donnell was in
it? No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
And these were scripts that were submitted to you to Scriptapalooza, Mark?
They were, and it was, you know, we connected the writers to the right agents, to the right producers, and it all happened.
That's terrific.
How about that? All right, here's the question I'm sure a lot of people are thinking as they're listening to this afternoon, and that is, do I have to pay to enter my script into Scriptapalooza?
Yes, you do. We have an entry fee right now. Our final deadline is April 15th, and it's $50 to enter. And we
it's
do
not
have a,
bad.
Yeah. I mean, we have a first place prize of $10,000. And, you know, it's not about the money, you know, the $10,000. It's about getting your script to that producer.
Yeah, exposure is everything with that.
Of course, yeah.
And $50 is a small investment to make in your career if you're serious about it.
And yeah, especially since you know that actual people who can get things done are going to be reading your script. Like Mark said, it's not like you've got, you know, a reader who's going to be looking at it. So, yeah, absolutely. That kind of access is well worth $50. I think it's awesome. I've been hearing about this for a long time, but I can't believe it's been 11 years already. But Scriptapalooza is in effect right now, and the website is just scriptapalooza.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right, Mark, good luck with it, man. I hope you get something good this year. Thanks for coming on K-Rock this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Taking a look at the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. We'll check this out. Then Ralph will be in with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday afternoon. First up, I think Ralph created a monster when he started reading these emails in the morning that somehow all end up with his hero, rock and roll star from the 70s, Eddie Money. Check it out.
So this past weekend, my friend took me to a cockfight. And we were being searched, you know, for weapons, cameras and stuff. And then I look over to my friend and I said, all this for two roosters with killing spikes.
Two roosters with killing spikes.
Wow.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Please don't encourage Ralph by sending in those emails. Please let that die, right? You guys are with me?
Those are awful.
That one was terrible. That one
was, no, don't.
That one was particularly awful.
Pretty weak.
Okay. Pretty weak. Yeah, exactly. Please stop. Stop with that. All right, here's a call of the Afro line. I think this guy's a fan of mine. I'm not sure.
Hey! Shut the f*** up, Bean! You're so annoying!
I'm listening to Big Boys.
Well, that's a better choice. Here's a good use of the Kevin Beat Afro line, I think.
I listen every day, and I call the Afro line every once in a while, and by every once in a while, I mean often, but I just wanted to say, you guys, except for you, Dave, the King of Mexico. I like you.
Oh, wow. A little love for the king there. How stoned was that caller, by the way?
Yeah, seriously.
All the time at krock.com, we put up new stuff. In fact, we got a tremendous episode of the Internet Roundup up right now. There's some stuff you've got to see the turtle making love to the tennis shoe. You got to see Stephen Colbert's latest rap video, the Ying Yang Twins cribs. There's so much cool stuff up there. And one of the new features that we've been doing at krock.com is something called Kevin Annoys You, where he walks around and just gets right up in the face of all the other people who work here at KROQ. And apparently that's what this Afro call is about.
So let me get this straight. You have a new feature on the website. It's a video feature, and it's called Kevin Annoys You. I do have one question about this. How is this any different from what has been going on the last 20 years on the radio?
Because this is video. He's now able to annoy you in all new ways that he does just on the radio.
Exactly.
Thought that was obvious. Yesterday on the Kevin B. Morning Show, we talked to Randy Moeller. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers hockey team. He's become famous for his calls that he makes with pop culture references after every single goal. And we've had a flood of those on the Afro line lately, like this one.
Pavlov into the blue line. He shoots. He scores! Say hi to Jane Biondi for me!
That's a shout-out that Tommy Lasorda made on our show last week. So, hi, little Jade. Good to talk to you. Hey, look, here's a call about the Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup, playing video clips on the radio. That's just brilliant.
We have an astounding understanding of the medium, is what we've got going on here. Last week, we dusted off the Kevin and Bean team song that we used to play a long time ago. Somebody had requested it, and this is the song that we made that was kind of a parody of all those 80s sports team songs where they talked about how awesome they were. And in particular, I think this caller is calling about this verse from former producer Lightning.
Long Beach in the house, yo!
chocolate for breakfast and for lunch. $400 a month. A month! My name is Lightning, call me Jay. Passing judgment is the game I play. I like big trucks and real big boobies. I'm the best at making movies. You better have nice rims on your ride if you want me to sell you any pride.
All right, here's what the listener had to say about that.
Chocolate for breakfast and for lunch. $400 a month. A month! You f***. Hi, Lisa.
Except for Lisa and occasionally Dave. Not much love otherwise of the Kevin to Beat Afrolight, is there?
Nope. Nope.
Wow. 323-520-AFRO.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next. Ralph joins us for the late Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, remember I told you last week that Lindsay Lohan,
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan! treated herself, even though she really isn't working much these days.
Yes.
Doesn't have any means of income in terms of movie work or TV work anymore.
Right.
Yet she thought that she earned a $100,000 Maserati.
Mm-hmm.
She was recently seen tooling around in that car. Well, apparently last night she got into a little bit of a fender bender.
Oh good.
Man.
In Glendale, California.
Glenn!
Huh? And someone driving a Subaru plowed into the back of her $100,000 Maserati.
By the way, that might be an interesting phone topic. How long have you had the car before you got in an accident?
That's sweet.
That hurts.
But it's kind of sweet.
She certainly deserves it. Now, do you think she's shopping at this point, going out and buying all this stuff because she's just bored? She's not doing anything else?
I don't know. Word is that her spending is causing a rift in her relationship with Samantha Ronson.
Because I think Samantha must be supporting him.
She's footing the bill a lot of the times when they go out and stuff, and then Lindsay's going out and buying these extravagant purchases.
I feel bad for whoever's in the Subaru because their insurance is going to have to pay. And that's going to cost a fortune.
Apparently, that's right, because if you hit someone from behind, you're the one at fault.
You're at fault,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And it's going to cost like $10,000 to fix her car or something.
Fix a bumper.
And you know it's Lindsay's fault somehow.
Oh, somehow.
Yeah. Somehow,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Cops came to the scene. Apparently no one was injured. And Lindsay was apparently visibly upset while inspecting the damage on her car.
I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
That's true.
Yeah.
You got a lot. Bean's upset because our president's going to be talking to us about serious issues instead of him being able to watch a bunch of teenagers sing Motown songs in American Idol.
Oh, you couldn't be more disturbed.
My only point is, why preempt primetime television? You're the president. Be on cable news. If people want to watch you, they can. The rest of us can watch what we want to watch.
Maybe
I don't care what he has to say at this point.
Things for Americans to hear, maybe.
Then maybe I'll read about it tomorrow. But don't take away my American Idol. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you may be less interested to know now that a source close to the production has said, you know those group numbers they do at the beginning of every voting show?
Yeah.
All lip sync. All pre-recorded.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, pre-recorded. That's been the word this season.
Lame.
Yeah.
That is lame. Those songs are lame anyway. Even if they do them live, that Up With People BS, let's all sort of dance but not quite and sing together segments are horrible. It's not what the show's about. No one cares about that. That's for that BS tour they go on to at the Staples Center.
Because they don't make enough money yet.
Right.
And it's to fill a two-hour show sometimes that has about 30 minutes of content that you're interested in. They've got to fill out the rest of it.
And they're not even singing those songs live.
Yeah.
Let's just cut that part out, shall we?
Seriously.
Let's just get right to the results.
I'm with you.
Make it a half an hour show.
Yeah.
You. Gone. Boop. Next.
15 minutes. That's
moving on.
And by the way, take away Barack Obama's teleprompter, too. That would make that more interesting. I'm saying let's just mix everything up and make it cool.
Okay, let's mix everything up and make it cool.
That's my advice.
And you know, looks like marriage is in the air this week. A lot of proposals, a lot of weddings with celebrities this week. I mentioned that Bruce Willis married his smoking hot model girlfriend. But this has to be the wrongest engagement in Hollywood. Remember Danny Bonaducci?
Of course.
When he used to work on AMP?
Yep.
Remember that
when
he was over there?
Yeah, he was very good.
Apparently, Danny, who is, I don't know, what's he, 50?
Probably.
Yeah. In his 50s, yeah, probably.
Has proposed to his 26-year-old girlfriend.
Amy.
Yeah. How do you know Amy? What's that name?
I used to listen to him.
Oh,
and
really?
He talked about her all the time and how he was trying to get a threesome.
Well, Amy said yes, Lisa. Apparently,
sure
they are
did.
Engaged.
Lucky girl.
He proposed with a ring with rubies on it. Actually, it was a skull and crossbones, and rubies were set in the eyes.
Douchebag.
Of the skull on the ring.
Well, that's so romantic.
Listen.
How could she not say yes to that?
How could you say yes to Danny Bonaducci?
Good point.
First of all, knowing everything everyone knows about Danny Bonaducci. Then he takes the trouble to put the skull and crossbones and the universal sign for poison on the ring as he hands it to you.
Douchebag.
Giving you every possible opportunity.
There is always a volunteer for someone like that.
Fame is the ultimate aphrodisiac. I've always said so. If you can get a 26-year-old girl just by being Danny Bonaducci, that's saying something.
What's her pride look like?
I don't know what she looks like.
I don't either.
She's 26, sure she's, though. It's all that matters.
Yeah, sure she's fine. He's twice her age. At least he's healthy and centered.
That's true. Because if you watch that Breaking Bad Aducci show, you know that he's got
it's one thing you know about him. Yeah. She ought to have about an hour-long conversation with Miss Gretchen Bonaducci before she agrees to walk down
another
that aisle.
Another broad, a great-looking broad who...
Absolutely,
he proposed to the night they met.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she said yes. Women.
Pays to be a partridge, dude. Come on.
Women. I'm just saying, women. Don't let Dr. Drew tell me I'm feeling superior when people out there are doing this kind of stuff. I'm better than them.
You got a point.
That's all I'm saying, Dr. Drew. Still angry about that from this morning.
I know you are.
Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Kelly LeBrock, 59 years old today.
No, she's not.
She's 49 years old today.
Yes, she is.
So it's good for 49. Not so good for 59. Star Jones is 47. Lara Flynn Boyle turns 39 years old today. Our pal Allison Hannigan from Buffy and How I Met Your Mother turns 35. And Colts quarterback Peyton Manning celebrates his 33rd.
Don't hurt Peyton.
Don't hurt Peyton. Baby hurt Peyton. I'm Ruff Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.